Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
What does great pizza and ice cold beer have in common? Charlotte's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlotte's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlotte's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlotte's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlotte's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlotte's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlotte's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlotte's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlotte's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlotte's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
If your roof starts to leak or your floor's really squeaky, live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home. I'm calling 888 Money Pit.
The Money Pit is presented by RoofMax, LL Flooring, and the Angie app. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show, on air and online at MoneyPit.com. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Hope you're enjoying this beautiful summer day in your home, wherever you are in this beautiful country of ours. And if you've got a home improvement project, a remodeling project, a decor project to make your home more beautiful, well, you're in the right place because we're here to do just that. We are your helper. We are your coach. We are your counselor. We can be your therapist if something goes wrong when it comes to those projects. But you got to help yourself first. If you'd like to get some tips, some advice on where to start or how to get out of a jam you're already in, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. You can pick up the phone and call us at 1-888-MONEYPIT. Or if you want a really quick response, you can go to moneypit.com, click on the microphone button, the blue microphone button, and leave us a message. We'll get back to you and may feature your question on the next show. Coming up on today's show, skylights are a great way to enjoy more of the sun all year long, but some leak a lot more than others. We're going to tell you the ones that leak the most and share a tip about the easiest way to add a skylight to your home in just 2 hours or less.
Ooh, that's a fast project. Also coming up, if you've got any furry family members, it's smart to think about which flooring types hold up best in the face of scratchy paws, accidents, even excessive shedding. So we're going to share some tips.
And they say good fences make good neighbors, but how exactly do you build a good fence? You know, like the kind you won't have to build over and over again because it gets destroyed by rot, termites, and carpenter ants? Well, we're going to have some solutions just ahead.
But first, give us a call. Let us know what you are working on. We are standing by to help you out with all of your home improvement projects. So pick up the phone, post your question, whatever it is, but reach out.
The number here is 1-888-MONEYPIT or head on over to moneypit.com, click on the blue microphone button, and leave your question right there. You can record your question and then send it right to our studio, and we'll get you into the very next show we're working on. But for now, let's get started. Leslie, who's first?
All right, we're going to help Holly in Kansas out. Seems like there's a
we now go live. We're running Colt 45's baseball with Austin White.
I replaced my old washing machine with a fancy new.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to another night of Reading Colt 45's baseball. It is Saturday, June 11th, and the Colts are going up against the West Coast Kings for the second time. They faced off against the Kings last night. That resulted and an 8-1 win for your Colt 45s. Isaac Horseman went 7 innings, allowing just 1 run. He had a pretty stellar performance. And those Colt 45s bats came alive, particularly in the bottom of the 5th inning, in which they scored 7 of their 8 runs. Well, right now we're having the plate meeting. The umpires and coaches are having a little discussion. Not sure what it's about. It's going a little longer than usual tonight. But that gives me a good chance to let you folks know that tonight is our annual We Back the Blue Night at Tiger Field. We are celebrating all the men and women that work so hard to keep our community safe. In our third base club VIP seating, it's going to be Danny Day, Allstate Insurance. They are celebrating a great year with some of their clients, and they want to thank you for tuning into the ball game and joining us as we cheer on the Colt 45s. They're proud to support the Reading Colt 45s and the We Back the Blue and raise money for our local K-9 program. Don't forget to call Danny Day, Allstate Insurance Agency. So with that, now we're just going to wait for this plate meeting clear up, and it looks like it's going to now. After that, we will welcome on Christlyn Bishop to sing the national anthem. Christlyn already having sung for us a couple times. She's got a great voice. Excited for her outing tonight. On the mound tonight for the Colt 45s is going to be Peyton Jeffries. It'll be his second start this season. He seems to have claimed a spot in that starting rotation for the Colt 45s. For the West Coast Kings, it's going to be Cameron Phelps. He was not in the lineup nor on the mound at any point last night, so this will be his first appearance against the Colt 45s. And just like that, we're going to go ahead and welcome on Christlyn Bishop. But I don't know if they're going to announce the lineups first or not. So now we wait.
Christlyn Bishop!
It looks like we're going to go straight to Miss Bishop. Another great rendition of the national anthem, sung again by Christlyn Bishop, and wow, that was just phenomenal. So we're going to go ahead and get the Colt 45s out onto the field, and the West Coast Kings will go in and grab the bats and get ready for the start of this ball game. I'll go ahead and give you the starting lineups for each team right now. For the Colt 45s, it's going to be Arive Camacho playing shortstop and batting in that one hole. Following him will be Kyle Norton once again at first base. Bryce Tweet in center field hitting third. It'll be Wyatt Reginato back at third base and batting in that four spot. It'll be Trey Harrison, DH in tonight, moving away from that right field position. So it'll be Blake Tweed after him. He'll be moving back into that right field spot. Jonathan Kumai playing second base. After him in that eight spot, it'll be Ethan Williams, the catcher. And it'll be Isaiah Cortez hitting in that nine spot and playing left field. So now we've got Officer Brett Leonard and his canine Otto coming out onto the field. They're going to go ahead and throw the ceremonial first pitch. And now it looks like we've got someone walking on in a full, like, armored bodysuit. And that dog, Otto, is barking. He is ready to attack. So it looks like instead of a first pitch, he's going to just go for him. There he goes. And they tackle him. There he goes. Wow. Well, I wish you folks could have seen that in person. Instead of a ceremonial first pitch, they just let that canine Otto loose. And he went and bodied that whoever's standing there behind home plate. And now he's stuck on that arm. And Officer Brett Leonard is trying to get him off and having a little bit of a difficult time there. So, well, we finally got Otto off of him, and now they're going to head back and off the field. So I'll go ahead and give you the West Coast Kings lineup as well. It's going to be Caden Peterson. We saw Caden Peterson with a little bit of relief pitching last night. He's going to be playing center field tonight. Following him in that number two spot is going to be Noah Young, the right fielder. After Noah Young, it's going to be A.C. Cabrera. He'll be playing shortstop tonight. Mateo Bellissimo will follow him at first base. It'll be Josh Rago in that designated hitter spot tonight. And following him in that number six is going to be Seth Gwynn playing left field. Number seven, we're going to have P.J. Fuentes. He'll be behind the plate, replacing Gavin Martinez from last night. It'll be Evan Bilter. I believe Bilter is going to be – I'm sorry. I think I have a little bit of a mishap here. Bilter is going to be in that designated hitter spot. I apologize. Rago is going to be playing third base tonight. So a little bit of a mistake there on my part. It'll be Mike Vina batting last for the West Coast Kings. And like I said earlier, with Cameron Phelps on the mound. So just like that, Peyton Jeffries out onto the mound to begin his warm-ups. We'll see if he can mimic that terrific performance from Isaac Horsman last night. As I had stated earlier, Horsman went seven innings, allowing just one run. And now Peyton Jeffries will look to do something similar. Now, the big story of last night was the West Coast Kings pitching. The starter, Evan Bilter, who tonight is going to be the designated hitter, he went four innings and gave up no hits through those four innings. I'm sorry. He actually went – well, no, he did go technically four innings. When we got into the fifth, he immediately gave up his first two hits of the game, then walked the next batter to load the bases. Manager Travis Wade then immediately went to the bullpen, and after that, things just fell apart. There was an immediate walk with the bases loaded that scored the first run, and then another base hit that scored a couple more. All in all, the score in that bottom of the fifth inning totaled seven runs. And with that, we're going to welcome Caden Peterson to the plate. And here's the first pitch from Jeffries. It's going to be a ground ball. The shortstop Camacho's got it easily. He'll throw on the run over to first. And we've got out number one. Nice play there from Camacho. It was a slow bouncer. He had to kind of run in on it a little bit. Leaned over, snagged it off the ground, and threw over to first on the run. So with one out, we'll bring Noah Young to the plate. He'll be playing right field once again tonight. The lefty looks and sees his first pitch. He'll swing and miss at a fastball there for strike one. Now, that's exactly what Jeffries wanted off of his first pitch of the game, just a weak ground ball over to that shortstop. Gets him a quick out. And pitch number two is going to be a high fastball. It'll miss the strike zone for ball one. And it'll be a quick 1-1 count now. to Noah Young, the right fielder. Now here's the 1-1. That one's going to be lifted high and foul to the left side. The count will turn over to 1-2. As Young steps out and takes a deep breath before returning to the box. Now the pitch. Swung on and tapped foul. Back into the catcher, Williams. It seems like the two catchers, Mateo Mendoza and Ethan Williams, are going to be splitting even time this season. Or at least for the moment they will be. They've pretty much gone back and forth every other game, taking each other's place in the lineup. So I would imagine their performances really have been pretty similar. They've both been pretty solid with the bat and pretty solid behind the plate as well, as Young bounces another one foul over to the right side this time. But I would expect that Williams and Mendoza continue to split time unless one of their performances skyrockets or tanks within the next few games. Now another fastball. It's going to go low and inside, almost in the dirt that time, as Young looks at it for 2. It'll be a 2-2 count now, and here comes the pitch. Fastball outside, and the count is loaded. So, full count here. We've got 3-2 and an out for Noah Young. Jeffries now coming in with the pitch. High fastball. It'll miss the strike zone, 4. That was a close one, but Noah Young there having some good discipline, watching it go by for 4. So we'll have a runner on first as A.C. Cabrera, the shortstop, comes up to the plate. Jeffries now out of the stretch. He's got a quick delivery, so we'll see if Young tries to take a bag on him. That's going to be a fastball in there for 1. It'll be an 0-1 count now. Again, it's going to be Noah Young taking a modest lead at first base. Here's the pitch. Curveball driven into center field. That one is going to fall for a base hit. And Noah Young will move over and stay at second base. Just like that, the West Coast Kings are threatening here in the top of the first inning. We've got 1. Jeffries could really use a double play here to get out of this one. And Mateo Bellissimo, the first baseman for the Kings, is going to come up to bat. Bellissimo, last night, pretty quiet, 0-for-4 with 3 groundouts and a strikeout. He'll be looking to have some more productivity here tonight. And right now he's got a chance to do just that with runners on first and second and just 1. He can really do a job here. Now the pitch, almost in the dirt. Nice effort by Williams to slide over and get to that ball. It'll be a 1-0 count now to Mateo Bellissimo. Now sets up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and lifted high and deep, foul, however, to the right side. Now Bellissimo, I believe I said it last night, he's got some power behind that swing, but well, last night, at least, he wasn't able to do much with that power. Let's see if the story changes here tonight. He's facing a 1-1 count. Again, 1, runners on first and second. Here's the pitch from Jeffries. High, up and in on the hands of Bellissimo for 2. So Jeffries now kind of falling behind in this count. He's got to work to catch up here. The pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. And well, I believe that's where he's going to want to work Bellissimo for the rest of the night. It's a high fastball, and Bellissimo, his wheelhouse really seems to be in the lower part of that zone. He had a little bit of trouble getting to that high fastball and got under it and just was able to foul it back. Here's the pitch now. Another high fastball. Ring him up. 3. Now, that was very similar to the pitch that home plate umpire called a ball on Noah Young that gave him a walk back a couple at-bats ago. But Bellissimo maybe knowing that it was a ball earlier to Young, took it, this time, however, called a strike. So that'll bring up Josh Rego. He's going to drive one into deep left field. That ball is gone. Rego with a three-run shot, and, man, that has got to be tough for Peyton Jeffries. Jeffries was on the verge of getting out of the inning, getting out of the jam, and first pitch to Josh Rego, and Rego absolutely annihilates that one. And just like that, the Kings are up 3-0 here in the top of the first inning. So not the start the Colts wanted, but the start they've got to work with. A little bit surprising from Rego, as Rego was 0 for 3 last night. He had a ground out and a fly out. Now, here comes Seth Gwynn, who lifts one into right field. Blake Tweet's going to get under it, however. He'll make the catch out number 3. So Jeffries hanging his head a little bit as he walks back to the dugout. West Coast Kings lead the Colt 45s 3-0. And remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive. Parallel Tax provides a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Call Parallel Tax at 530-221-3343. So we'll head to the bottom of the first. The Colt 45s trail 3-0. They'll look to get a couple of those runs back after the break.
The popular Big Daddy Burger is back at Black Bear Diner. This massive burger sports 2 10-ounce patties and a 6-inch sesame seed bun. Add 2 onion rings, a fried egg, bacon, cheese, pickles, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and dressing. And, well, you've got a burger challenge. This month, only at Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to Tiger Field. It's the bottom of the first inning in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and the West Coast Kings. If you were with us in the top of the inning, you'll know that Josh Rego hit a three-run line drive home run over the left field wall to put the Kings up 3-0. Now the Colts looking to come back, get a few runs of their own. It'll be Arive Camacho, the hot shortstop, coming out of Antelope Valley College, batting first. And by hot, I mean he is hot with the bat, folks. He's got 8 hits in his last 3 games as he drives one to the shortstop, unfortunately, in the air for out number 1. That one looked like it could be trouble, but that shortstop, AC Cabrera, just had to take one step over to snag that ball out of the air. And just like that, we'll see Kyle Norton, now the first baseman, come up to the plate. So a line out for Camacho means out number 1 for the Colt 45s as Cameron Phelps sets up for Kyle Norton here. Now the pitch. Looks like a little bit of an off speed there. It's going to fall into the strike zone for strike 1. Last night, Norton, pretty quiet. He had a sac fly and an infield single. Other than that, however, it was a couple of strikeouts and a pop out. Now he's going to watch another curveball fall into the inside part of the zone for strike 2. And just like that, Norton is off with an 0-2 count. Phelps having a solid start to the inning so far. Here comes the 0-2 delivery. Swung on and lifted into shallow left field. The shortstop Cabrera is going to go back and get under it, make the catch for out number 2. So a weak pop out there from Kyle Norton puts up the second out of the inning as the Kings look to get out of it without allowing a hit here.
Tweed.
It'll be Bryce Tweed, the center fielder out of Sac City College. We know Bryce has quite a bit of power when he's able to get a hold of that ball. Let's see if he can do something like that right now. Phelps sets up. Now he'll deliver. High fastball in the strike zone, however. Strike one. So Tweed going to take a deep breath before stepping back into the box. Now Phelps is going to shake off a couple of signs. He'll take this one. Here comes the delivery. Swung on and driven into deep right field. That ball's going. It's going. It's gone. And just like that, the Colts have given a little bit of an answer here in the bottom of the first. A long home run over the right field wall for the first run of the ball game for the Colt 45s. So, just like the Kings, in the first inning, they were close to getting shut down with two outs. But just like that, Tweed is able to get a hold of one and send it over the wall for the first run of the game for your Colt 45s. It'll bring up Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman now. He's going to watch a fastball catch the outside corner of the zone for strike one. Reginato last night made a phenomenal play at third base. Completely laid out for a lined ground ball down the third baseline. And now he's going to foul one off deep to the left side. But he completely laid out for a lined ground ball down the third baseline. Stood up immediately and practically from third base, absolutely threw a dart to the first baseman and got the out. Now he'll foul one straight into the dirt as he stays alive with two strikes. But I'll tell you, that was one of the better plays I've seen at the collegiate level in general, not just at the collegiate club level, but I mean, I would expect to see a play like that from some of your guys at Vanderbilt. Now Phelps going to set up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the first baseman. It's going to nick off his glove to the left. And Reginato's on as the first baseman, Bellissimo, commits an error.
Regis University, number 28.
That'll bring up for us Trey Harrison, the designated hitter out of Regis University. Now, I got to tell you, Bellissimo last night also had a couple of errors, I believe. One of them that ultimately costed the Kings a couple of runs. Now, here comes the pitch. That one's going to be driven deep into center field. Center fielder going back, he will make the catch on the trot right before the warning track, and that'll be out number three. So a deep drive from Norton ends it. Bryce Tweed with the long solo shot to put the Colt 45s on the board. We'll head into the top of the second now. Kings look to extend that two-run lead, and we'll see after the break, folks.
Who do you trust to handle your taxes? Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive understands how important trust is when it comes to filing your taxes. The professionals at Parallel Tax not only keep your private information private, they provide a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Parallel Tax, 1147 Hilltop Drive. Make an appointment today by calling 530-221-3343. That's 530-221-3343.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the second inning here at Tiger Field. The Reading Colt 45s versus the West Coast Kings for the second time. And for the second consecutive inning, it'll be Peyton Jeffries. Jeffries gave up that long three-run shot last inning to Josh Rago, the third baseman. That put the Colt 45s down 3-0. Now he's going to see P.J. Fuentes, the catcher. He'll be looking to hopefully shut the rest of this Kings offense down as the night continues on. And Fuentes, on the first pitch, is going to foul one off into the right side net. It'll be no balls and a strike as Jeffries gets his sign and now delivers. It's going to be a check swing, foul ball, straight into the ground for strike two. So just like that, Jeffries gets a quick 0-2 count to Fuentes. Fuentes will look to battle back here and stay alive. Now Jeffries is going to shake off a sign. Take this one. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball. Barely misses the zone. Williams kind of held it there for a second, hoping that that umpire would maybe change his mind. It's a 1-2 count. Inside fastball this time. Clearly a ball. That one was. It'll be a 2-2 count now. Now Jeffries, 2-2 pitch. Swung on and lifted into right field. Tweed is going to go back, and he's still going back, and he'll make the catch right before the warning track. So that one didn't look too hot off the bat, but it carried a good ways out there. Still, Tweed is able to go back and make the catch pretty easily, as we will see Evan Bilter, the designated hitter, come up to bat. Bilter, the starting pitcher last night, like we said earlier, gave up zero hits through four innings, but then in the fifth, loaded the bases through a couple base hits and a walk. All of those runs ultimately scored off of the following pitchers. Now, Bilter looking at an 0-1 count. Here comes the pitch. Curveball doesn't quite catch the outside of the zone. It'll be ball one. So a ball and a strike now to Evan Bilter, the designated hitter. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, check swing, grounded weakly to the second baseman. That's Kumai. He's got it easily. Tosses it over to first for out number two. So we've got two outs here in the top of the second inning. It'll be Mike Vina hitting in the ninth spot. He's playing second base tonight. And we'll see what he can do with two outs here. Jeffries looks down and takes the sign. Here comes the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. Vina gonna take a step out, take a little swing. Here's the pitch. Swung on, this time lifted foul over to the right side into the parking lot. Let's see if that one hits a car. It will not. It actually hit the dumpster out there. So, no balls and two strikes to Mike Vina. Jeffries takes his sign once again. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So, after giving up a three-run shot in the first, Jeffries comes back and shuts down the rest of this Kings lineup. It's, again, 3-1 in favor of the West Coast Kings as we head into the bottom of the second inning, presented to you by Parallel Tax. We'll see you after the break.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the second inning here at Tiger Field. Again, it's the Red and Gold 45s versus the West Coast Kings. Cameron Phillips back out on the mound for the second inning. He gave up a home run to Bryce Tweet in the bottom of the first. He'll be looking to shut down the rest of this Colts lineup here in the second. We'll see Blake Tweed, the brother of Bryce Tweed, come up to bat now. Blake coming out of Sac City College with his brother. The pair are, well, they're nearly identical in every way. Just about the same height, same stature. They both have long hair, flows out of the back of their hats and helmets. And they both play the outfield, Bryce in center and Blake typically in right or left. And now he's going to watch a fastball go by inside for ball one. And Blake Tweed started off with a ball. Phelps now coming set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. Phelps looking at a new ball. Steps back onto the rubber. Now even in their at-bats and their approaches coming up to the plate, the Tweed brothers look extremely similar. When they step up to the box, both of them like to hold onto the bat with both hands, stick it out in front of them, look at it, and take a deep breath before stepping into the box. I mean, I'm not sure you could tell the two apart if we didn't tell you for you, or if one of them didn't bat right-handed and the other left-handed. Now, Tweed going to watch a curveball go by for called strike three, and he's sent packing back to the dugout. So we'll see Jonathan Kumai come up to the plate now. Kumai, one of those guys that really likes to crowd the plate. Here comes the 0-0 pitch. Swung on and drilled ground ball to the shortstop, who's going to fumble with it. And there will be no throw as Kumai gets on. We'll see what they're going to rule that. It looks like they're going to rule it a single as no error signal is put up on the board. It was a diving attempt from the third baseman, Rego, who missed it. It then went into the glove of the shortstop, Cabrera, who then fumbled with it and was unable to make a throw. Now it'll be Ethan Williams, the catcher. Runner Kumai goes. The throw will be not in time. And Kumai is in there with a stolen base. So Phelps now, he's dealing with a runner on second and just one out. Williams, with a base hit, could potentially score a run, minimize that two-run lead for the Kings right now. Phelps looks down, takes his sign. Looks back at the runner. Now looks back again. Here's the pitch. Bunt shown. He'll draw back. It's going to be off the shin protector of the catcher, Fuentes, and Kumai is going to make it easily over to third base. So just like that, I believe that will be ruled a pass ball. I think Williams showing bunt kind of messed with P.J. Fuentes there. Blocked his vision or something because, well, it was a low pitch, but it just went right off of Fuentes' shin protector, it looked like. Nah, didn't bounce first or anything. Now Williams is going to foul one back into the net for strike two. He's facing a 1-2 count now with one out. Anything lifted into the air, into the outfield, into the deep outfield, or mid part of the outfield, could score a run here as Kumai is on third. Now there's going to be a curveball swung on and missed by Williams for strike three. So the opportunity to score here for the Colts is starting to dwindle. It'll be Isaiah Cortez, the left fielder, back in the lineup for the first time after a couple nights of sitting out. He's coming out of CSU San Bernardino. And with two outs, he's going to watch a curveball go by, misses the inside corner for ball one. So 1-0 count. Again, Colt 45's trail the West Coast Kings 3-1 as the pitcher Phelps sets up once again. Now he'll deliver. Swung on and lifted into left field. That one's going to fall for a base hit, and Kumai's going to score. Cortez will round first and stay there. And a nice single there to score a run and minimize that Kings lead to just one here in the bottom of the second. And just like that, we'll see Arive Camacho for the second time tonight here in the bottom of the second inning. He lined out to the shortstop Cabrera in his first at-bat. Now it looks like Phelps is going to throw over to first. Cortez is back in sliding. Two outs. 3-2. Kings. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. Swung on and driven into center field for a base hit. That ball was hit so hard into center that the center fielder, Peterson, got to it very quickly and limited Cortez to stay at second base. Cortez was stealing on that pitch, so he had a great jump. If it wasn't hit so hard by Camacho, he probably could have gotten to third base. But because it was just absolutely drilled, he'll have to hold up at second. Now with two outs, we've got runners at first and second for the Colt 45s. Cal Norton got a chance to do some more damage here. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed for strike one. Norton popped out in his first at bat. He's looking to be a little more productive here. He seemed to have a little bit of trouble recently getting under that ball. He might want to try to really focus on getting on top of it. Now Phelps is going to make a move towards second. He won't throw, however. Norton takes a dry swing, now steps back into the box. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and driven into left center. It's going to be caught, however, by the left fielder, Seth Gwynn, on the run. So a nice catch there from Seth Gwynn. Gets the pitcher Phelps out of some trouble. Still, one run given up, and that Kings lead is minimized. 3-2 Kings as we head into the top of the third. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Parallel Tax. And with that, we'll see you after the break.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of third inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and West Coast Kings. Kings lead 3-2. They'll look to extend that lead here in the top of the third as Caden Peterson, the center fielder, comes up for the second time tonight. He had a ground out in his first at-bat. He'll look to lead things off here with a hit. Right now he's going to foul one back into the parking lot. It's an 0-1 count now to start off Peterson. Jeffries is still out on the mound. He had a perfect inning in the top of the second after giving up that 3-run shot in the first. He delivers another strike to Peterson. Now the 0-2, it's going to be a high fastball for ball one. So 1-2 count. Peterson looking to stay alive here. Jeffrey's going to shake off sign. Now he'll deliver. Fouled back into the net. The count remains 1-2. So with that, Peterson going to step out, take a look at his bat, and take a deep breath. Now the pitch from Jeffries. Another high fastball. This one even higher above the zone for ball two. So Jeffries got two quick strikes on Peterson, but has now thrown a couple of balls to him to even up the count. Here's the pitch. Curveball, strike three called, and Peterson is sent back to the dugout on a beautiful curveball from Peyton Jeffries. Noah Young, the right fielder, coming back up for the second time. He walked in his first appearance tonight. Last night, Young was pretty quiet. He was 0-for-3 with a strikeout, line out, and a ground out. Now he'll lift one into left field. The left fielder, Cortez, running after it. He'll get under it easily and make the second out of the inning. So just like that, it looks like Jeffries is close to his second consecutive perfect inning. He'll have to face AC Cabrera, who got the first hit of the night for the Kings back in the first. He'll be looking to do something similar here. Here's the pitch. That's going to be grounded into right field for another base hit. So Cabrera is 2-for-2 on the night with a couple of singles as we see Mateo Bellissimo stride up to the plate. Bellissimo strike out in his last at-bat. He was 0-for-4 last night, so not the most worrisome hitter, I guess you could say, here for Jeffries. But still, with the runner on, he doesn't want to take this guy too lightly. Following Bellissimo on deck is going to be Josh Rago. Remember, Rago was the one who hit that line drive 3-run shot in the first inning. Now the pitch to Bellissimo is going to be bounced foul to the left side. It'll be a 0-1 count for the first baseman as Jeffries gets the ball back, now steps back up onto the rubber. He'll look down. Cabrera taking a pretty light lead off of first base. Jeffries not paying him too much attention. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into right field, foul. It's going to be an 0-2 count now to Mateo Bellissimo. With two outs here in the top of the third inning. Again, we've got a runner on first. The Kings lead the Colt 45s 3-2, and now Jeffries is going to throw over. Cabrera sliding in safely. He could probably get another step on that leadoff. Jeffries will set it up once again. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted into center field. Bryce Tweed coming in, makes the catch. So out number three. That'll send us into the bottom of the third. Colts trailing by just one run as they'll go in and grab the bats. We'll see if they can tie it up, maybe take the lead when we come back after the break, folks.
Who do you trust to handle your taxes? Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive understands how important trust is when it comes to filing your taxes. The professionals at Parallel Tax not only keep your private information private, they provide a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Parallel Tax, 1147 Hilltop Drive. Make an appointment today by calling 530-221-3343. That's 530-221-3343.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open, and you're invited to come see for yourself why so many customers tell us how beautiful the nursery is. Locally grown plants and vegetables are on sale now. Buy any three vegetables or soil booster and get one free. Let Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping's contractor install beautiful dark green synthetic lawn, the best on the market. No maintenance, no water, no fertilizer. Call for your free estimate. Gold Leaf Nursery, open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, closed Sunday and Monday, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6168 Churn Creek Road.
Alrighty, folks. Well, welcome back here to the bottom of the third inning at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Colt 45s and the Kings. Score here is 3-2 in favor of the Kings. They had that long home run in the first inning that put them up on the board 3-0. But the Colts have battled back in the last two innings. They scored one in the first and one in the second. Let's see if they can do something similar to tie it up here in the bottom of the third. We're going to see Bryce Tweed, who himself hit that solo shot we saw in the first inning that proved to be the first run of the game for the Colts. It was a long shot, let me tell you, into right field. Phelps might want to stay away from the strike zone here as he pitches a fastball that indeed will miss outside. So a 1-0 count to start off Bryce Tweed. Let's see if Tweed can have a repeat of his last at-bat here. That would be nice. Big boost for the Colts. Here's the pitch. That one will catch the outside corner this time for strike one. It'll be a 1-1 count to Tweed as Phelps once again steps back onto the rubber and looks down to take his sign. He'll set up now. Here comes the delivery. Curveball, swing and a miss from Tweed. Tweed was actually late on that curveball, and I think he realized it was coming into the strike zone a little too late, and then let out a huge swing in which he kind of stumbled onto home plate afterwards. So he'll be facing a 1-2 count now with no outs. Here comes the pitch. Another curveball, swing and a miss, got him. So Tweed showing the duality of man here as he launches a home run in the first but strikes out swinging in his second at-bat. That'll bring up Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman out of Folsom Lake College. Once again, Reginato reached on an error by the first baseman Bellissimo in the first inning. Let's see what he does here. Phelps setting up. Here comes the pitch. Outside fastball, way outside fastball, for ball one. So, well, I've got to say, Phelps is definitely a competent pitcher up there on the rubber. And Reginato is going to ground one to the second baseman who's got it, throws over to Bellissimo at first, and gets out number two pretty easily there. Like I was saying, Phelps, definitely a competent pitcher. He has given up one run so far in each of the innings he has performed, but he looks solid. And facing up against this really hot Colt 45's offense, you really can't blame him for those two runs. One of them coming off of the home run by Tweed. He's also had to deal with a couple of errors and mishaps by the defense, so looks like he'll be facing Trey Harrison for the second time, as Harrison lifts a foul ball over to the left side and out of play. It'll be an 0-1 count to start off Harrison. Phelps sets up. Here comes the pitch. High and outside fastball for ball one. So the count is evened up at one apiece. We've got two outs here in the bottom of the third. Phelps sets up. Here comes the pitch. Again, way outside, ball two. So a 2-1 count to Harrison. Harrison had that deep fly out in his first at-bat. Now the 2-1 pitch. Going to be a curveball. That one's going to drop right into the top of the zone for strike two. And the count is evened up once again. Two balls, two strikes. Two outs here in the bottom of the third. Colts trail by just one run. One swing of the bat could change all that. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be high and a little outside this time. And just like that, the count is full. So, Harrison in the box once again, facing a 3-2 count. Here comes the pitch. Curveball misses the outside corner for ball four. Harrison heads on over to first with a walk. Now, I'll tell you, the middle infielders of this Kings team started to trot back into the dugout on that pitch. They thought it was strike three. However, the home plate umpire said, no, sir, and gave Harrison a walk. So Blake Tweed coming up for the second time tonight. He struck out in his first at-bat. Now with two outs, he'll be looking to get a base hit for the Colt 45s. Now he lets a big swing fly, fouls one back into the net. We'll say Blake, the brother of Bryce, has not shown quite as much power in his swing, but he does typically make contact a little more frequently, putting the ball into play a little more than his brother. Now Phelps is going to throw over. Harrison is back into first standing. But, as I said earlier, the Tweed brothers nearly indistinguishable from each other. Now Tweed's going to let a big swing fly. That ball is going back into left field. There it goes, and it's gone. Wow. So the second Tweed to have a home run tonight, and that's going to put the Colt 45s ahead 4-2 here in the bottom of the third. Wow. Now, I wasn't sure if that one was going to get out, but it absolutely does. Just barely got over the fence there, but it gets over and gives the Colt 45s a one-run lead. So let me tell you something that I find a little interesting here, folks. Bryce Tweed, in that three spot, playing center field tonight, had a home run in his first at-bat and a strikeout in his second. Now, Blake Tweed, who had a strikeout in his first at-bat, gets a home run in his second. So if you couldn't think anything could get weirder between these twins, I don't know if you'd call that a coincidence, but either way, they both have a strikeout and a home run on the night. So now Kumai up to bat for the second time. He's going to swing and miss at a fastball for strike one. Kumai had a single back in his first at-bat. Now he's going to ground one to the third baseman, Rago, who's got it, throws over to Bellissimo at first for out number three. So Phelps gives up a couple of runs once again. Colts take the lead 4-3 off of the home run from Blake Tweed. We'll see you after the break in the top of the fourth inning, folks.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to this KCNR broadcast of your Reading Colt 45s versus the West Coast Kings off of the two-run home run last inning from Blake Tweed. The Colt 45s are able to take the lead. The score is 4-3 here as we head into the top of the fourth. It's going to be Josh Rago up to bat for the second time tonight, facing Peyton Jeffries once again. Remember, Josh Rago had that long three-run shot back in the first inning. Now he's going to watch a fastball go by low for ball one. Rago was pretty quiet last night, as I said. He was 0-for-3, but tonight started things off for the Kings with a 3-run shot. And he'll be looking to do something similar here as he's facing a 2-0 count. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the third baseman, Reginato, who will miss it. That was a tough play, I got to say. And Reginato just couldn't quite snag it as it bounced past him on the left side. So I think they're going to rule that a base hit. Pretty difficult play for Reginato. But it'll bring up Seth Gwynn, the left fielder, who flew out in his last at-bat. Now with no outs, he's got a chance to do a job for the West Coast Kings. He'll watch a fastball go outside for ball one. Now Jeffrey setting up, delivers. That's going to be a high fastball, but home plate umpire says it caught the top of the zone for strike one. The count's evened up here at one apiece with no outs. Jeffrey sets up. Here's the pitch. Low fastball. Looked like a strike to me and to Jeffrey's too, who kind of shakes his head. He walks back up to the rubber. Now he'll set up once again the pitch. Swung on and lifted high and foul. That's going to go back into the parking lot. Barely misses a car out there. So two balls and two strikes now to Seth Gwynn, the left fielder. Remember, we got Josh Rago over there leading off first. Here's the pitch. Curveball, strike three called. And just like that, the Colts have their first out of the inning. A high curveball. I'm not quite sure that would catch the typical strike zone, but that home plate umpire, we know he's got a pretty high zone. He's had it all night so far. So just like that, Gwynn is put away with a strikeout. Catcher P.J. Fuentes up to bat now. He's going to ground one sharply to the shortstop Camacho. Camacho throws to Kumai. Kumai to first. Got him. Double play to end the inning. So just like that, Jeffries gets out of it quick. We'll head to the bottom of the fourth. Colts look to extend that one-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive. Give them a call at 530-221-3343. And we'll see you as the Colts try to extend their lead in the bottom of the fourth.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they keep her online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the fourth inning here at Tiger Field. We're going to see Ethan Williams come up to the plate for the second time. He'll be facing off once again against Cameron Phelps. Phelps having a bit of a rough start here. He gave up a run in the first, a run in the second, and then two runs in that last bottom of the third inning off of that home run from Blake Tweed. We'll see if Ethan Williams can do a job here for the Colt 45s and maybe give him a chance to extend that one-run lead. Catcher out of Shasta College has a strikeout so far in this game tonight. Phelps sets up. Here's the first pitch. It's going to be a low fastball for ball one as Williams steps out but quickly steps back in. Once again, Phelps sets up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded up the middle. The shortstop Cabrera has it, throws on over to first, and gets the out. So a quick out there for the Kings. That's kind of what they needed to get Phelps a little bit of momentum here. It'll bring up Isaiah Cortez. Cortez singled in his last at-bat. And we'll be looking to do something similar. That single scored a run for the Colts. Jonathan Kumai came in from third base on that one. Now with none on, Cortez is going to watch the curveball go by in the zone for strike one. We'll see if Phelps can keep it together this inning. Shut down this Colts offense without allowing a run. That would be his first time tonight. As another curveball to Cortez is called a strike once again, almost the identical spot. Now the pitch. On the outside corner, a third straight curveball. This one, that home plate umpire is going to say, does not quite catch the zone. So it'll be a ball and two strikes as Cortez steps back into the box. Here's the delivery from Phelps. High fastball. It'll miss the zone for ball two. So a couple of balls, a couple of strikes to Isaiah Cortez with just one out here. Nobody on. The Colts lead 4-3. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. So Cortez is put away. That'll bring up the top of this Colt 45's lineup. For the third time, it'll be Arive Camacho. Camacho lined out to the shortstop in his first at-bat and then had that hard drive up the middle for a single in his last one. If you remember that, that was that ball had some velocity off the bat, let me tell you. Now Phelps will set up. Here comes the pitch. Fastball low and outside. It'll get past the catcher Fuentes for ball one. Camacho's going to step out for a second. Now he'll step back in. Phelps shakes off a couple of signs. Now he takes that one. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball, ball two. So quick 2-0 to Camacho. Let's see if Phelps can catch up here. Here comes the 2-0 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. Camacho kind of grimacing as he steps back out of the box. That one I don't think was a strike, but Camacho sure did want it. So he lets out a hefty swing, but isn't able to quite get a hold of it. So it'll be a 2-1 count now to Camacho. And now he's going to take a called strike off of a fastball. The count will even up at 2 apiece with 2 outs here. In the bottom of the fourth. Now the 2-2 pitch. Here it comes. Curveball. It's going to hit Camacho in the back. And he's going to throw his bat over towards the dugout. And stroll on over to first. Slowly, I might add. It's more of a slow walk over to first, actually. He looks to be in a little bit of pain. Not a high-velocity pitch, but Camacho took that in the worst way possible. Kind of just curving his back, letting that full impact hit him squarely. Now it'll be Kyle Norton, the first baseman, up for the third time. Norton's 0-for-2 so far tonight. He popped out weakly to the shortstop in his first at-bat, then had that long fly out in his second. See if he can do something here. The pitch. Swing on and missed. Strike one. So with two outs, Norton will be facing an 0-1 count. Camacho. He's got 10 steals on the season so far. Let's see if he can get another here. And Phelps is going to throw over to first, try to check Camacho. And Camacho safely in there sliding. The count remains no balls and a strike to Kyle Norton, the first baseman. Phelps sets up. Once again, here's the pitch. High fastball. Evens up the count at one apiece. Now, let me tell you, folks, down here at Tiger Field, the stands are pretty packed. This is probably the most fans I've seen in the stands so far this season. I'd estimate somewhere in the 200 or 300s as Norton fouls one back behind the stands. It'll be a 1-2 count now with two outs. Phelps, just a strike away from getting out of the inning, So it'd be his first without allowing a run. Here comes the pitch. Runner goes. Swung on. Grounded straight back to Phelps, who will run it over and toss to Bellissimo for out number three. So the Colts are put away. That's their first inning without scoring. The score will remain 4-3 in favor of your Colt 45s. And the Kings will look to even it up when we come back in the top of the fifth.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here. It's the top of the fifth inning. Peyton Jeffrey's going to come back out on the mound. He's allowed 3 runs through 4 innings pitched so far. All 3 of those coming off of that 3-run shot from Josh Rego in the first inning. It's going to be Evan Bilter in that 8 spot as the designated hitter coming up to the plate for the second time. Bilter grounded out in his first at bat. He'll be looking to lead things off here for the Kings. Here comes the 0-0 pitch. It's going to be a check swing fouled over to the right side above the dugout. And quickly, the count turns to no balls and a strike. So an 0-1 count to Bilter. And with another fastball, he's going to foul it off again, this time soaring high into the parking lot on that right side. And just like that, it's going to be an 0-2 count. Jeffrey's now delivering once again. This one's going to be flared out into right field. It'll fall for a base hit. So Jeffrey's quick pitch strategy kind of fails him there as Bilter gets an 0-2 single to start off the inning for the Kings. Now we're going to see Vina come up to the plate for the second time. He struck out in his first plate appearance, and now he's going to watch a fastball go by a little high for ball one. Bilter taking a decent lead off of first. Jeffries comes set. Now he'll throw back over to first. No tag from Norton as Bilter is in there easily. Vina steps back into the box to count still 1-0. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the shortstop, Camacho. It's going to go off Camacho's glove and bounce a few feet away. Both runners will be safe. That's got to be marked an error. Yeah, it will be marked an error on Camacho. So a rare event for Camacho in the Colt 45s. Camacho is not known to make a lot of defensive errors. He is pretty sharp over there with the glove. This time, however, it was a ground ball that kind of took a little bit of a hop when it hit the edge of the grass, and Camacho just couldn't keep his eyes on it. It went up around his shoulder, stuck up his glove, but it just nicked off the top. So that'll bring up Caden Peterson to the plate for the third time. He's hitting in that one spot. He's got a ground out and a strikeout on the night. As he watches a fastball go by low for ball one. Now he'll step out and look at his third base coach for signs. Doesn't look like the coach is going to give him any signs. However, now he'll step back in. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and drilled into center field. That'll be a base hit. Runner going to round third, stay there. And the bases will be loaded now with no outs. So Jeffries has himself in a bit of a predicament. Now off the base hit from Caden Peterson. Bilter kind of froze on that. I don't know what he was thinking. He seemed like he was about to turn back and run to second. Maybe he thought it was going to be caught on the fly. That's why he was only able to get to third. Now there's going to be a deep drive from Noah Young. Bryce Tweed going back. He'll make the catch. However, runners at second and third will advance. No! A throw from Tweed gets the runner at third. Holy cow. So a run will score. Filter comes across the plate from third to tie it up at four runs apiece. However, I believe it was Vina behind him trying to get to third on the tag is beat by a long throw, no bounce, from Bryce Tweed in center field. That was a phenomenal throw. I personally didn't think it had a chance. But Tweed shows off the arm there and gets Vina at third by just a step. That'll bring up AC Cabrera now. Cabrera watches a strike and now a fastball inside for ball one. Still just thinking about that phenomenal throw from Tweed. Like I said, I didn't think there was a chance. I didn't think he would even make an attempt. Now the runner's going to go. It's going to be a little flare right over the first baseman Norton's head for a single. And it looks like Peterson is going to slide into third on that. He had stolen, slid into second, didn't realize that AC Cabrera had hit that ball. Quickly stood up, though, saw that the ball was in the outfield, and ran on over to third. So, again, a little bit of a situation here for the Colt 45s. They've got runners at first and third, two outs. Mateo Bellissimo, who is hitless in his last five at-bats, comes up to the plate. Here comes the pitch. No, it's going to be a throw over to first. Nice stop from Norton. That one was in the dirt. So Bellissimo is still yet to see his first pitch. Here it comes now. Swung on and driven into deep left field. However, Tweed is right there, and he'll make the catch for out number three. So the Colt 45s give up a run. However, Jeffries does a good job of limiting the damage, especially with the help of Bryce Tweed and that great arm in center field. The Colts will look to break the tie now as we head into the bottom of the fifth inning. We'll see you after the break, folks.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the fifth inning in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and West Coast Kings. Looks like it's going to be Cameron Phelps back out onto the mound for his fifth consecutive inning. In the last one, the fourth, Phelps had his first scoreless inning, gave up one in the first, one in the second, and a couple in the third. Held the Colts in the fourth, however, and now he's going to watch Bryce Tweed come up to the plate for the third time tonight. Now the matchup has been split up between this pitcher and hitter. In his first at-bat, Tweed hit that long solo shot into right field. In his second, however, Phelps won the battle by striking him out on a swing. So, here comes the first pitch of this third matchup. Swung on and tipped back into the glove of the catcher Fuentes for strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count now. to start off Bryce Tweed. Now, I think after that home run, Tweed's a little on edge. He's trying to do something like that again. And he swung through it a couple times now, as you know, striking out in his last at-bat. This time he's going to watch a fastball dribble into the back of the backstop. It's a 1-1 count. And I just lost a couple of cards. Those flew into the stands. That's unfortunate. 1-1 count now. It's going to be a deep drive again by Tweed. And he just watches that one go. Home run number 2 for Bryce Tweed. Solo shot breaks up the tie. And there was no doubt about that one off the bat. Tweed swung, dropped the bat, and stared at it as it went across the wall. Score is now 5-4 here in the bottom of the fifth inning. And that'll bring up Wyatt Reginato. I guess you could say Tweed really just kind of pimped that ball. Like I said, he just swung, dropped the bat, and stared at it before starting his trot. Anyways, his second home run of the night, he is really on a bit of a tear here as Reginato watches a fastball go by outside for ball one. And that one got out in a hurry as well. I mean, there was not a lot of elevation behind it. It was really just a line drive shot. Now Reginato's going to foul one back behind the stands. So that's Tweed's fifth home run of the year so far. And, well, I can only imagine what his slugging percentage has to be right now. It's got to be pretty hot. Now Reginato's going to see a 1-1 pitch. Here it comes. High fastball, once again, a little too high for the strike zone. It'll be 2 balls and a strike. So with no outs here, Phelps has already given up a run. Let's see if he can limit the damage. 2 balls and a strike. Here's the pitch to Reginato. Another outside fastball. Looks like he might have crossed up the catcher Fuentes there. As that one's just going to go off the glove of Fuentes. He didn't look like he was ready for that pitch. And the count will move over to 3 balls and a strike. And just like that, Travis Wade is going to take a visit out to the mound. There's some activity in that Kings bullpen. Let's see if they make the call. Some activity in the Colt 45's bullpen as well, actually. And now they're just going to have a little bit of a conversation, it looks like. Interesting move by the manager, Wade, to come out in the middle of an at-bat. And now the umpire is going to head on out there and try to get him to break things up. Maybe get this game back on the road. He does. Now everyone's going to head back to their positions. Wade heads back to the dugout. It'll be Reginato again facing a 3-1 count with no outs, no one on here. 5-4 is the score in favor of the Colt 45s. Now Phelps going to set up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. And the count moves full. 3 balls, 2 strikes. No outs here to Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman out of Folsom Lake College. Reginato still looking for his first hit of the past 2 games. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike 3. So Phelps wins the battle, and that'll bring up Trey Harrison for the third time tonight. Harrison, he's got a flyout and a walk tonight. We'll see if he can get something started here for the Colt 45s after that home run from Tweed. Curveball dropped by the catcher Fuentes. However, that home plate umpire is still going to say it's a strike. It'll be an 0-1 count now to start off Harrison. Harrison, coming out of Regis University, Division II Jesuit College. He's definitely got some power behind that bat. And he shows it there with a long foul ball over to the left side. The count quickly moves to no balls and two strikes with Justin out here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Phelps going to look down and take his sign. He'll shake off a couple before taking this one. Now he sets up. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball. Looked like that almost caught the corner of the zone, but home plate umpire says no. Count will move to a ball and two strikes. Here comes the 1-2 pitch. Curveball misses the top of the zone. It'll be two balls and two strikes now with an out to Trey Harrison. Phelps, once again, going to shake off a couple of signs before taking this one. Sets up. Here comes the delivery. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So a couple of consecutive strikeouts after giving up that home run to Bryce Tweed. And that'll bring up Blake Tweed, another guy that Phelps has to worry about after that two-run shot back in the third inning. Combined, Blake and his brother, Bryce, have three home runs tonight and are responsible for the majority of this Colt 45's offense so far. Again, the score is 5-4 here in favor of the Colts, as Tweed takes a fastball in the dirt for ball one. Now Phelps will take his sign, sets up and delivers. Curveball, that one's going to catch the outside corner, and the count evens up at a ball and a strike. So Tweed now going to step out, take a deep breath. Tweed likes to crowd that plate quite a bit. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and driven into left field. That one is going to go just foul. Now, that could have been trouble for the Kings. It was a hard line drive down that third baseline. Probably would have been a double had it not gone just to the left of the foul line. Anyways, the count will become a ball and two strikes now, as Phelps is just a strike away from ending it here. Now the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. So Tweed stays alive here in the bottom of the fifth with two outs. Let's see if he can make something happen. Phelps steps back up onto the rubber and looks down for his sign. He'll take the first one he sees. Now sets up. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. And Fuentes is going to miss the tag. It was in the dirt, so he'll throw on over to first and gets him there. So three consecutive strikeouts after giving up the home run to Bryce Tweed. Phelps will head back into the dugout, and the Colts will come out looking to defend that one-run lead when we come back from the break in the top of the sixth inning.
If you sign up for the pitcher race, please...
Who do you trust to handle your taxes? Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive understands how important trust is when it comes to filing your taxes. The professionals at Parallel Tax not only keep your private information private, they provide a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Parallel Tax, 1147 Hilltop Drive. Make an appointment today by calling 530-221-3343. That's 530-221-3343.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, and all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to Tiger Field. It's the top of the sixth inning here in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and West Coast Kings. Colts lead the Kings 5-4. And it looks like we're going to have a new pitcher out on the mound for the Colt 45s. It'll be David Salters, the 6'3" left-hander out of Oklahoma Baptist University, coming in for the Colts. We'll see if he can preserve this one-run lead in the top of the sixth as he warms up out there on the mound. So, Peyton Jeffries goes five innings, gives up four runs, is able to, keep the lead at least for the Colt 45s. Really a solid performance from Jeffries, just aside from that 1-3-run home run in the first that kind of plagued him for the rest of his outing. Either way, it'll be Salters now, and he'll be going up against Josh Rago, the third baseman. Remember, Rago in his first at-bat had that 3-run shot against Peyton Jeffries, and he'll be hoping for something similar as he strides up to the plate. So Salters has a formidable opponent for his first batter. Let's see if he can win the battle here. He takes the first sign he gets. Here comes the pitch. Fastball swung on and tipped back into the glove of Williams for strike one. So already Josh Rago having a hard time catching up to that fastball from Salters. Salters definitely has some real solid velocity behind that pitch. Now he's going to throw a curveball, loses control of it, and it's going to hit the back foot of Rago, and he'll stroll on over to first base. So with no outs, the Colts put a runner on here in the top of the sixth inning. He'll represent the tying run as the go-ahead run comes up to the plate. It'll be Seth Gwynn. Gwynn is 0-2 on the night. He flew out in his first at-bat and then struck out in his second. Let's see if he can do a job here. As he watches a first pitch fastball in the dirt. Nice block from Williams. It'll keep Rago on first. Rago, a big guy, not a ton of speed behind him. He's not taking a huge lead over there at first base. But now Salters is going to give him a tricky move that almost fooled him. Still, Rago able to slide back in there safely. It's a ball and no strikes to Seth Gwynn, the left fielder. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike one. So velocity once again beats Gwynn, just like it did Rago on his first pitch. As the count evens up at a ball and a strike. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and drilled to Camacho. Camacho makes the catch. Throws on over to first. Not in time at first. Norton makes a great play, picking that ball out of the dirt and saving an extra bag for Rago. But the Colts have their first out off of the line out from Seth Gwynn. So that'll bring up P.J. Fuentes, the catcher. Fuentes is 0-2 as well tonight. He flew out in his first at-bat, then grounded into a double play in his last one for the Colts. That was a beautiful double play that he grounded into, I might say. It was a hard ground ball to the shortstop Camacho. Camacho gave a beautiful toss to Kumai at second, who threw a strike to Norton over at first. Now here comes the 0-1 pitch. It'll be a curveball low for ball one. So Salters, he has good velocity in his fastball tonight, but he's struggling a little bit with the control over his off-speed so far. Here comes the 1-1. Swung on and drilled straight into the ground for a foul ball. That'll be strike two. It'll be a 1-2 count now with an out and a runner on first. Kings trailing 5-4. Salters sets up. Stares over at Rago on first. Now the pitch. Curveball, swing and a miss, strike three. So Salters is able to gain control of the curveball there as he fools P.J. Fuentes and draws a strikeout. It'll be Evan Bilter, the designated hitter. He's 1-for-2 tonight, coming up to the plate with two outs and a runner on first. Here comes the 0-0 pitch. Curveball, this one's going to miss low and inside for ball one. So although Salters has been having a little trouble with that curveball, he was able to really get control of it for Fuentes, drawing a swing. Even despite that lack of control that he's shown just a bit here tonight, still got a lot of great movement coming in on that curveball. As he throws a fastball, that Bilter drills foul, almost hits the on-deck batter, Vina. But the count will even up at a ball and a strike. Rayo leads off first once again. Here comes the pitch. Inside fastball, ball two. So Salters falls just a little behind in the count. The count is two balls and a strike with two outs. He'll set up now. Here comes the pitch. Curveball in the dirt, blocked by Williams. Rago thought about it, but ultimately held up. Great job there by Williams. Blocking that ball, goes right in front of him, and then he was quick to get to it. The count will move to three balls and a strike now, as Salters is going to have to battle back here. Here comes the pitch. Low in the dirt for ball four. So just like that, we've got two on here in the top of the sixth inning. As the top of the order comes up. Sorry. The last hitter in the order comes up. It'll be Mike Vina. I kind of skipped right over Vina, went to Peterson. I'm sorry about that. But it will indeed be Vina up to bat. He is 0-for-2 tonight as well. He struck out and reached on an error. Let's see what he does here with two outs and runners on first and second. He's going to take a first-pitch fastball. That'll be outside for ball one. Now we'll step back in. Salters looks down and takes his sign. Sets up. Checks back that runner on second. Nobody really holding him on tight. Here comes the pitch. Low, almost in the dirt there for ball two. So Salters now looking a little shaken with two runners on. Let's see if he can get back in a groove here and end the inning. The 2-0 pitch. Swung on and drilled straight into the ground once again for strike one. It'll be a 2-1 count now for Mike Vina. On deck is Caden Peterson, that number one spot hitter from center field. He's 1-for-3 tonight. Here comes the 2-1 pitch to Vina. High and outside fastball. And Salters now looks to be losing control of that fastball, which he was operating very well. So it looks like Williams sees that and is now going to go call time and take a trip out to the mound, have a little chat, try to calm Salters down a bit. Puts his hand on his shoulder. Maybe they're having a little bit of a heart-to-heart. Now a fist bump as Williams heads back behind the plate. Now Vina gonna step out of the box and take a big dry hack before stepping back in. Salter's looking at a 3-1 count to Vina. He's got to come back here if he doesn't want to load the bases up with two outs. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, ball four. So it looks like Salter's having a little bit of trouble with control here in the top of the sixth inning. He's got two outs, but now loads the bases off of a base hit and then a couple of walks. It'll be Caden Peterson up to bat now as he watches a first pitch fastball go by for a strike this time. So, Salters gaining control back over that fastball. He'll look down, take his sign once again, come set. No balls and a strike. Here's the pitch. Swung on and tapped foul behind the plate. And quickly, the count moves to 0-2 for Caden Peterson. And Salters is real close to getting himself out of this jam. He takes his sign and comes set now. Paying no attention to the runners. Here's the pitch. Curveball. Strike three called. Got him. So Salters gets himself out of a tough situation with the bases loaded. The score remains 5-4. Colt 45's in the lead as we head into the bottom of the sixth. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Parallel Tax. They provide a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Parallel Tax. And we will see you in the bottom of the sixth inning.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the sixth inning here in this matchup between the Colt 45 and West Coast Kings. The score is 5-4. Colts looking to extend that lead as they send Jonathan Kumai up to the plate for the third time tonight. Kumai is 1-for-2 as he watches a new pitcher warm up on the mound. I'm trying to figure out who that is out there right now. I'll have that name for you shortly. It'll be number 90, Josh Futrell, up on the mound, it looks like, as Phelps comes out after five innings of work, giving up five runs. So Kumai strides up to the plate. He'll be the first one to face Futrell here tonight. Here comes the 0-0 pitch. High fastball, ball one. Boy, I ought to say, Futrell has an interesting setup there on the mound as he throws another high fastball to Kumai for ball two. He kind of separates his feet up there, so he's standing with his feet just a little further than shoulder width apart up on the mound. A little bit of a V shape. Anyway, Kumai fouls one off behind the stands. Now with a 2-1 count, he's going to drill one into left center field. That's going to be caught on a dive by the left fielder, Seth Gwynn. And that'll rob Kumai of a double. Boy, that sure was a nice hit, but an even nicer attempt from Seth Gwynn, the left fielder. He went all out for that one. putting his body on the line and making the diving snag out in left field. So it'll be one out for Ethan Williams as he comes up to the plate. Williams is 0-for-2 tonight. He struck out and grounded out, and now he's going to ground one to the second baseman who fields it cleanly and throws over to Bellissimo at first for out number two. So Williams stays hitless as we bring up Isaiah Cortez. Cortez is 1-for-2 tonight. He had an RBI single in his first at-bat, but struck out in his last one. Now with two outs, he'll be looking to start something here in the bottom of the sixth inning for the Colts. Josh Vetrell doing a good job of shutting down this Colts offense so far. Now showing bunt is Cortez, and he'll lay it down, but it's going to go foul down the third baseline. And just like that, he's got no balls and a strike. I'd be surprised if he, having alerted to the defense, his strategy will bunt again. He won't. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and driven into right field. That's going to be a base hit. And the right fielder, Noah Young, is going to get to it quickly as Cortez falls over rounding first base. It'll be two outs and a runner on first now as Cortez earns himself another single. He's 2-for-3 on the night. And we'll bring up the top of the order once again. It's Arive Camacho, 1-for-2 tonight. Runner goes, and that one's going to be fouled off back into the parking lot. So Camacho with two outs and a runner on looks to do a job. That job kind of requires a hit at this point with two outs. The Colts are leading here 5-4 in the bottom of the sixth as Fetrell throws a high fastball. That'll miss the zone for ball one. Counts evened up now at a ball and a strike with two outs. Cortez taking his lead off at first. Here comes the pitch. Runner goes. Swung on, fouled off again to the right side. This time just past that right field dugout. And so for the second time, Cortez's plan to steal second base is foiled by a foul ball from Camacho. Now with a ball and two strikes, Camacho steps in once again. Two outs, runner on first. Here comes the pitch. Runner goes once again. It's a high fastball. The throw is going to be in time. Got him. So kind of a slow, weak throw from the catcher, but still beats Cortez in plenty of time. That'll bring us to the top of the seventh inning. Colts still lead 5-4. We'll see you folks after the break.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReddingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of the seventh inning here at Tiger Field. It's going to be David Salters back out on the mound for the Colt 45s for his second consecutive inning. Salters loaded up the bases last inning, but got out of it with a nice strikeout. Let's see if he can continue to shut down this Kings offense. The Kings have scored four through six innings so far, as it looks like we're going to have a substitution in for Noah Young. Here comes the pitch. It'll be Noah Goley up to bat, number 48, I believe in the spot of Noah Young. He watches a fastball go by for strike one. Now he'll watch another one go by, a little low, but it'll catch the bottom of the zone for strike two. Now the 0-2 pitch from Salters. Curveball, swung on and missed, strike three. So three straight pitches puts away Noah Goley, who was in for Noah Young. That'll bring up the shortstop, AC Cabrera, who is 3-for-3 on the night, having three singles. We'll see if he can continue the hit streak here against Salters. It'll be his first time facing Salters tonight. And with one out, Salters now delivering. It's going to be a curveball. Misses way outside for ball one. So it'll be a ball and no strikes to Cabrera. Now the 1-0 pitch. Swung on and missed. That was a fastball in the zone for strike one. So the count is evened up at one apiece. We've got one out here in the top of the seventh inning. Salters now takes his sign. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and drilled to the second baseman, Kumai. Kumai's got it. Throws over to first for out number two. That was a tough play. It was a line drive that just took a single hop before reaching Kumai. Kumai does a nice job of getting his glove to it and making a clean throw over to first for the out. So Mateo Bellissimo coming out to bat for the fourth time tonight. Bellissimo's 0-for-3 on the night with a strikeout, flyout, and lineout. He is 0-for-6 in the last two games combined. Sorry, 0-for-7, actually. Let's see if he can get his first hit of the series here. It's going to be a fastball low in the dirt for ball two. Got two balls and no strikes here to Mateo Bellissimo. Now the 2-0 pitch. Curveball in the dirt for ball three. It'll be three balls and no strikes here with two outs. Here comes the 3-0 pitch. In the dirt, ball four. So Bellissimo heads on over to first on four consecutive balls for a walk. And now we will see Josh Rago come back up to the plate for the fourth time tonight. Rago, again, had that three-run shot in the first, then grounded out in his second, and then was hit by a pitch in his third at-bat. So now the umpire is going to ask for a few more baseballs before Rago steps into the box. Rago's probably one of the heftier guys in this Kings lineup. The righty standing about 6 feet, probably around 6 feet 2 inches. He swings and misses at a fastball for strike one. He's got a runner on first with two outs. It would require something big to get that run across here. Now the 0-1 pitch. It's going to be in the dirt, gets past Williams, and Bellissimo is able to reach first. Sorry, second. Easily. So it'll be a 1-1 count now to Rago. With a runner on second this time, and just like that, Rago's job got a bit easier. All he needs now is a base hit that would score a run. And he'll watch a fastball go by outside for strike two on the outside corner. Rago didn't think that one was a strike. He kind of shook his head on the call. But nonetheless, he'll be looking at a 1-2 count with two outs here. Salters comes set once again. Here's the pitch. Curveball. This one's going to be lifted high and deep to right field. It's going. The center fielder tweet back, and that one is off the wall. One run will score, and Rago's going to go in standing up to second base. I lost that ball in the darkness, but picked it up once again after it bounced off of the wall. It was in probably the deepest part of the yard out there in right center, just to the right of that dead center corner. And just like that, Josh Rago has tied up the ball game with a one-run double. That'll bring up Seth Gwynn, the left fielder. Gwynn had that tremendous catch out in left earlier tonight. He lined out in his last at-bat. A base hit could give the Kings the lead. And Salters is going to deliver one in the dirt now. Nice block from Williams to hold Rago over at third. The count will be a ball and a strike as Salters sets up. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and lifted into the parking lot. Foul ball. It's a ball and two strikes now to Seth Gwynn, the left fielder. One ball, two strikes, two outs. Score is 5-5 here in the top of the seventh. With the runner on second, Gwynn with a chance to break the tie. Here comes the pitch. Almost in the dirt, low fastball. And I got to tell you, out of the stretch, David Salters looks much less comfortable than he does out of the windup. He's having trouble controlling that fastball. The count is two balls and two strikes. Here's the pitch. High and way outside, Williams having to kind of lunge over to snag it out of the air. The count moves full, so the pressure on here for David Salters. Full count, two outs, runner on second. Here comes the payoff pitch. In the dirt, ball four. So Salters gives up his second walk of the inning. And now with runners on first and second, he will face P.J. Fuentes, the catcher. Fuentes, very quiet tonight. He's flown out, grounded into a double play, and struck out. See if he can put something together for the Kings here. The pitch. Swung on and grounded to Kumai, who's going to take it and step on second for out number three. So Salters gives up one. The Kings tie the game up, but they're... offense is limited there. We'll head into the bottom of the seventh as the Colts hope to break the tie. We'll see you after the break, folks.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Get ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 15th Annual Taste of Reading 2022. Sunday, June 12th from noon until 4 at Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews, plus live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.com. Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to the Billies, the Stonehearts, Hook, Refugia, and Mark McAbee and Jason Schroeder of Clearcuts. Enjoy fun with the family with face painting and balloon artists. Reading West Rotary would like to especially thank O2 Employment Services and Sun Oaks Health Club for their underwriting sponsorship to their local breweries for this year's Taste of Reading. There'll be fun for the entire family, so come on down to the 15th Annual Taste of Reading, Sunday, June 12th at the Sculpture Park at Reading City Hall. Find the complete list of events and purchase your tickets online at tasteofreading.com.
Who do you trust to handle your taxes? Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive understands how important trust is when it comes to filing your taxes.
The professionals at Parallel Tax not only keep your private information private, they provide a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Parallel Tax, 1147 Hilltop Drive. Make an appointment today by calling 530-221-3343. That's 530-221-3343.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the seventh inning. It's going to be Areev Camacho in the box for the Colt 45s for the fourth time tonight. He's going to watch a first pitch fastball go by for strike one. Now a second fastball go by on the outside corner for strike two. Camacho showing a little bit of frustration there with that call. It'll quickly be no balls and two strikes to Camacho, who's going to swing and drive one into the right center gap. That one's going to go all the way to the wall. Camacho rounding first. He's headed for two. I think he's going to go for three. He is. The throw is going to be not in time. Camacho is into third base with a triple. Leading off the inning, Camacho absolutely drills one into that right center gap. And hoo-wow. That was a nice way to start off the inning for the Reading Colt 45s. That's going to bring up Kyle Norton for the fourth time tonight. And Norton, with no outs, has a big chance to break the tie here in the bottom of the seventh. Here's the pitch. High fastball up and on the hands of Norton for ball one. So absolutely not what Josh Fetrell, the pitcher, wanted to do with two strikes to Camacho. Just gave him an absolute meatball that Camacho took advantage of. Now Norton's going to drive one into left field for a base hit. That's his first base hit of the night, and it's going to drive in the go-ahead run. 6-5, Colt 45s, runner on first, no outs, and guess who we've got coming up to the plate? It'll be Bryce Tweed. Now remember, Tweed's got two home runs on the night, both of them against the starter, Cameron Phelps. Let's see if he can have similar success here against Fetrell. Fetrell seems to be kind of crumbling here. Now Tweed is going to foul one off. Big swing there. And it's going to go into the face mask of the catcher, Fuentes, who's going to take a walk around now. He looks a little shocked by that one. 0-1 now to Bryce Tweed. And the Colts jump out in this inning. And it's really kind of similar to what we've seen from them so far throughout the past few nights. They seem to have a few good innings and then one where they really just jump out in front early on in the inning. Now runner's going to go. The throw is going to be not in time. Norton's in there with a stolen base. It was a strike, I believe, to Bryce Tweed. So I believe the count's going to move to no balls and two strikes as Tweed once again steps in the box. With a runner on second, here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply foul to the right side. And the Kings are not in a good spot here. They're down by a run now. They've got a runner on second, no outs. Let's see if they can limit the damage here. As Tweed once again steps back into the box. Phelps looks down and takes his sign. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and drilled deep right field. That one's going. There's no doubt about it. It is gone. No, off the wall. Tweed is headed to second, and Norton's going to score at home. I guess I spoke a little too soon. I sure thought that one was gone right off the bat, but like the double from Rago earlier in the top of the inning, that one went to the deepest part of the yard and deflects off of the top of the wall for a double. Now Travis Wade is going to make his way out to the mound. He'll have a meeting with just the catcher Fuentes and the pitcher Phelps. Like I said earlier, Phelps just seems to be crumbling here in the bottom of the seventh. He's given up two runs now without garnering an out. and he's still going to be dealing with a runner on second. Wind now picking up here at Tiger Field. But this looks like it may be the longest inning of the night so far. Again, we've got no outs here and a runner on second. Two runs have scored already. The Colts are up 7-5. And they've got all the momentum right now as they send in Wyatt Reginato. Bryce Tweed is hot tonight, folks. Two home runs and now an RBI double for him. It's 3-for-4. Reginato, he's 0-for-3 tonight. He'll be looking for his first hit. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. He just swung straight through that fastball for strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count now to the third baseman. Bryce Tweed leading off of second. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled, this time into the back of the net. And quickly, Reginato goes down 0-2. Reginato having a tough couple of games at the plate. But he'll be looking to flip that around in this at-bat. Here comes the pitch. That one's going to hit Reginato. And the catcher, Fuentes, is going to try to talk to the umpire and ask him if Reginato kind of leaned into that one. It got him on the elbow. I saw Reginato kind of lean over and stick his elbow out just a bit. The umpire says no, however, and sends him on over to first. So a good job there, Reginato, drawing that hit by pitch and getting out of an 0-2 predicament. We'll see Trey Harrison come up to bat now. He's 0-for-2 tonight. As he drills one sharply to the right side, almost hits that hits Travis Wade standing there outside of the dugout. It'll be an 0-1 count to Harrison. Phelps looks down and takes his sign. Double play would be nice for them here. And Harrison's going to foul that one off back behind the stands for strike two. So it'll be an 0-2 count now. 7-5 is the score here in the bottom of the seventh. Colts have runners on first and second, and a chance to do even more damage here in the bottom of the inning. Now the pitch. Inside fastball. It'll miss the zone for ball one, and the count moves over to 1-2. Harrison waiting patiently for Phelps to get his sign. Now Phelps will get it and set up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, again, fouled sharply over to the right side, and again, almost hits the manager, Travis Wade, standing right there at the entrance of the dugout. In this at-bat alone, he's had to jump out of the way a couple times. So the count will remain a ball and two strikes with no outs here. As Phelps sets up, here's the pitch. High fastball. That one's going to come in on the hands of Harrison and actually hit off of the knob of his bat. So they'll rule that a foul ball, and it'll be a ball and two strikes now. Again, no outs. We've got Wyatt Reginato on first and Bryce Tweed leading off of second. Colts lead by two. Could be more in a second here. Here's the pitch. Low curveball. It'll miss the zone for ball two, and the count evens up at two balls and two strikes. So Harrison steps back in once again. This at-bat has seemed to take quite a while. Here's the pitch. High fastball, and the count is full. So Harrison does a good job battling back after being down in the count. Now Phelps under a lot of pressure here with two on and no outs. Here's the pitch. It's going to be inside ball four. So Harrison is going to get a free base. He'll head over to first. The bases now are loaded for the Colt 45s with no outs. And that'll bring up Blake Tweed, who is 1-for-3. Remember, he had that two-run home run like his brother in his second at-bat. Now the Kings are going to make the call to the bullpen. We'll have a new pitcher here. And as he warms up, we'll head to a quick one-minute break.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the seventh inning here. Bases are loaded for the Reading Colt 45s. They've already scored two in this inning. The Kings have yet to record an out. It's going to be Blake Tweed up to bat. New pitcher, DeMar Dufresne, on the mound. He's still warming up a little bit. Now it looks like they're going to give him the two-pitch signal. Again, Blake Tweed, 1-for-3 with a home run tonight. His brother, overshadowing that performance a little bit, has two home runs and an RBI double. And now Blake Tweed's going to stride up to the plate. The catcher, P.J. Fuentes, is going to have a quick conversation first with pitcher DeMar Dufresne before heading back behind the plate and getting ready for Blake Tweed. So Tweed takes a deep breath before stepping into the box. Again, bases are loaded for him. He's got no outs. A double play is much needed here by the Kings as Dufresne sets up and now delivers. High fastball. It'll miss the zone for ball one. And, well, the game has been very close so far, but it's on the verge of being broken open here by the Colt 45s, similar to what happened last night in the fifth inning. Now the 1-0 pitch. Outside fastball, that one will catch the corner for strike one. A few fans expressing their displeasure with that call, yelling out to the umpire. It's a ball and a strike. Dufresne sets up. Here's the pitch. Curveball in the dirt. Nice block by Fuentes. Holds the runners. And now he's going to ask for a new ball from the umpire before giving it to Dufresne. So a 2-1 count now to Blake Tweed. Tweed looking for his second hit of the night, and it would be a big one. Dufresne gets the ball, sets back up. Here comes the pitch. Fastball, that one's going to catch the outside corner of the zone, strike two. So with two balls and two strikes, Tweed will look to stay alive. Dufresne looks down, takes his sign. Now he'll set up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike three. So in his first batter of the ball game, Dufresne earns himself a strikeout and sends Tweed back to the dugout. Kumai is going to come out to the plate now. He's 1-for-3 on the night. Single ground out and a fly out, respectively. Here comes the pitch. Low fastball will not quite catch the zone. It'll be ball one to Kumai. Now with one out, a double play could get the Kings out of a real tricky situation here. Damage has already been done. The Colts have scored two runs, but even more awaits. That one's going to be straight up. It's coming close to the booth here, and now it's going to land right to the right of the stands, about 10 feet away from the booth, and bounce up and into the hands of a fan. So that'll be strike one for Jonathan Kumai. So, 1-1, one out, bases juice. Jonathan Kumai once again steps in. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike two. Dufresne doing a good job of blowing it by these Colt 45's hitters so far. Let's see if he can keep it together here with just one out and the bases loaded. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and lifted into left field. Left fielder coming in. It's going to fall for a base hit. All runners will advance just one base. And Kumai gets himself an RBI single. Dufresne unable to shut down the offense completely. The score moves to 8-5 as we see Ethan Williams, the catcher, come up once again. Williams is 0-3 tonight. He's got a strikeout and a couple of groundouts. Now with the bases loaded, let's see if he can do even more damage to this West Coast Kings ball club. There comes the 0-0 pitch. In the dirt, nice block by Fuentes. It'll be a ball and no strikes here in the bottom of the seventh. This inning has gone on a while, let me say. And the Colts, I wouldn't say they've broken it open quite yet. They're up by 3 runs, but with just one out and the bases loaded, they're on the verge of doing so. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. The count will even up at a ball and a strike. Williams going to step out and take a breath before kicking around some dirt and stepping back into the box. Dufresne looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll come set. Here comes the pitch. Low fastball. Home plate umpire says it catches the bottom of the zone for strike two. So the count will move on to 1-2 with an out, and the base is juiced. Corners are playing in. They're hoping to get that out at home if possible. Middle infielders in double play depth. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be in the dirt, spiked, but Fuentes does a good job of blocking it, and it goes straight down into the ground. So the count moves to 2-2 with an out here in the bottom of the seventh inning. Again, the Colts on the verge of breaking this one open. Let's see if the catcher, Ethan Williams, can do it here with a 2-2 count and one out. Here comes the pitch. Curveball grounded sharply to the left side. Foul. The count will remain 2-2 as Williams fights to stay alive. Now, Dufresne has done a solid job coming in with the bases loaded. He has allowed a run to score, but he's kept his composure quite well. Now he'll throw a fastball that misses the zone very high. The count will become full, and now Dufresne is under a lot of pressure with the bases loaded and just one out. He needs to get a strike here. Williams looking to get a hit or a walk. He'll swing and drive that one foul to the right side. And that's a tough one for Dufresne to swallow because with a 3-2 count like that, you know, Dufresne really looking to he doesn't want to give anything too meaty to that hitter Williams. So throwing him a strike like that especially is risky, and now he's got to do the same thing over again. Here comes the pitch. Strike three called. Dufresne got him. And Williams yells out a couple of words. I can only imagine what those words were as he walks back to the dugout. I'm not sure if he was upset at himself or upset at the call from the umpire. Either way, that'll bring up Isaiah Cortez, the left fielder. Cortez is 2-3 on the night. He's got a couple of singles and an RBI. Now with two outs and the bases loaded, see what he does. Swing on and grounded lightly up the middle. Shortstop's got it. He's going to make the throw. It's going to be not in time. So Cortez has himself an RBI infield single, and the bases remain loaded. The shortstop, AC Cabrera, had a tough time getting to that ball. It was a slow roller that Cabrera just couldn't quite get to in time. On top of that, he had a little trouble getting it out of his glove, getting a good grip on it. So the throw was very late. Now Camacho's going to drive one into deep center field. It's going to be over the head of the center fielder, Peterson, and go all the way to the wall. Camacho now going to third. All runs will score, and he's in there sliding. There will be no throw, and Camacho is in there with his second triple of the night. Holy cow. And that's his third triple in the last two games, folks. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. With two outs, Camacho clears the bases and ruins the Kings' night as the score moves to 12-5. And I think I can officially say here that the Colts have broken this one open. We'll see Kyle Norton now come up for the fifth time tonight. He's going to foul one back into the mask of the catcher. Norton is 1-for-4 on the night. Got a pop out, fly out, ground out, and then a single in his last at bat. Now he'll be looking at an 0-1 count with two outs here. And that's really just a shame for DeMar Dufresne, the pitcher, who was so close to getting out of that inning with just one run allowed. But instead gives up a triple that'll score three. Now the pitch. Swung on and grounded up the middle. Dufresne has it, throws over to first. And they get out number three. So, off of a couple of walks, a couple of hits, and that nice triple from Camacho, the Colts go up 11-5 in the bottom of the seventh. We'll head into the top of the eighth. The Kings are hoping to get a couple of those runs back. Let's see if they can. We'll see you after the break.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It is the top of the eighth inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and the West Coast Kings. Looks like we're going to have a new pitcher out on the mound. Struggling to see who it is. It's going to be Dustin Niles, it looks like, for the Colt 45s. Niles out there warming up now. The score is 12-5 here in the top of the eighth inning. The Kings are hoping to maybe get a couple of those runs back. They have unfortunately gone down significantly in the bottom of the seventh. Now, this game is really reminding me of last night's, in which the Colts broke it open in the bottom of the fifth inning, scoring seven runs. They do the same thing tonight in the bottom of the seventh and go up by seven runs. And, you know, as much as I'm excited for the Colt 45s, I got to say, these big blowout games that we've been seeing recently just aren't quite as fun to watch as the close ones. And it looks like we're going to watch Evan Bilter come out to the plate for his fourth at-bat of the game. He's got a ground-out, single, and a walk so far tonight. Now he'll watch a first-pitch fastball go by for strike one. I imagine if all goes well for Niles, they're planning on keeping him in for the last two in this game. They'll have him close it out. Now he's going to throw a fastball in the dirt for ball one. Counts evened up at a ball and a strike. Again, score 12-5 here in the top of the eighth inning. Niles sets up. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. swung on and lifted into deep right field. Tweed going back on it, and he will get under it and make the catch just before the warning track. And Bilter is put away. So it'll be Mike Vina up to the plate. He's got a strikeout tonight. He reached on an error, and he also walked. So he'll be looking for his first hit of the night. With one out, the Colts are just five outs away from ending this game. With their seventh consecutive win, that would be quite impressive. Niles looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll set up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and bounced up the middle towards the second baseman, Kumai. Kumai's got it, throws over to first for out number two. So Niles, working quickly, gets two outs. He'll be looking for his third in Caden Peterson. Peterson is 1-for-4 tonight, looking for his second hit of the evening. Niles hoping to get out of it here. He'll set up now. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and bounced foul to the left side. Now, the stands have thinned out a decent amount so far after that 7-run inning from the Colt 45s. There aren't nearly as many people here, but still a good crowd. Now Niles is going to throw one that'll skim off the backside of Peterson. I think he just lost control of that one there, and with that, the Kings have their first base runner of the inning. Well, that'll bring up Noah Goalie for the second time tonight. Goalie struck out in his first at-bat. Let's see what he does here. Here it comes. That's going to be a high fastball, called strike, however, by the umpire. I'm not sure if that one really was a strike, but it was called so. So Dustin Niles will set up and now deliver the 0-1 pitch. Here it comes. Another high fastball. This one a little too high. So Williams has to come up out of the squat to grab it. It'll be a 1-1 pitch now with two outs. Peterson leading off of first. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and bounced foul back behind the plate. It'll be a 1-2 count now to Goalie. Goalie struck out in his last at-bat. He came in as a substitute for Noah Young, the right fielder. Now Niles will look in and take his sign. He sets up. Now delivers. Runner goes. Curveball, strike three, throw down is going to be not in time. Doesn't matter, though, because they got the out on the strikeout. So, score remains 12-5 as we head into the bottom of the eighth. The Colt 45s are just three runs away from getting the win. Sorry, three outs away from getting the win. And we'll see if they can extend that 7-run lead after the break.
Hi, friends. This is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It's the bottom of the eighth inning here. Colts lead the Kings 12-5 in the bottom of the seventh. Sorry, bottom of the eighth. It'll be DeMar Dufresne, the pitcher, back out onto the mound for the Kings. Big inning in the bottom of the seventh for the Colt 45s. They scored 7 runs, really broke this one open, just like they did last night in the fifth. To make the score 12-5. The Kings really don't seem to have much of a chance here, but the Colts can score 7 runs in an inning. I suppose that the Kings have a chance at it as well. Still, they'll have to get through the bulk of the order here in the bottom of the 8th as Bryce Tweed comes back up for the 5th time tonight. Tweed has a couple of home runs and a double on the night. And now he'll get hit square in the helmet. He looks a little shaken up, but okay, as he heads on over to first. I can't imagine that that was intentional by Dufresne. I don't think it was. Tweed's okay. He heads on over to first. And his on-base percentage continues to impress. That'll bring up Wyatt Reginato. Reginato was actually hit in his last at-bat. He's still looking for his first hit tonight, however, as he's 0 for 3. Now with Tweed leading off of first, here comes the 0 pitch. It's going to be a low fastball for ball one. Now, this really isn't much of a game here anymore, with the Colts having a 7-run lead. It's not close, and, well, now Dufresne's going to throw one in the dirt, and it'll get away from Fuentes, allowing Tweed to take second. As I was saying, not much of a game. That was good timing. But the wheels have simply fallen off the bus for the Kings tonight. As Tweet now leads off of second base, here comes the 2-0 pitch. It's going to be, again, in the dirt, picked up by Fuentes, however. The count will move to 3 balls and no strikes to Wyatt Reginato. Dufresne will get his sign and set up now. Here comes the 3-0 pitch. In the dirt, again, ball 4. So runners on first and second, already a rough start here for the Kings in the bottom of the 8th. I don't know what the deal is with this team, but it seems like they just get to a certain inning and everything just falls apart for them. Last night it was the 5th. Tonight it was the 7th. But either way, it seems like their morale just drops, their confidence drops, and the talent drops as their pitching has just seemingly lost all control over the game. Again, it's 12-5. Colt 45's lead. They've got runners on first and second. It's Trey Harrison up to bat. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and drilled over to the right side, foul. There's some velocity behind that ball. Wish we had a Statcast here. I would imagine that one was in the mid to upper 90s off the bat. Now Dufresne will look down and get a sign. Double play would be nice for the Kings here. He's going to take a deep breath. Now delivers. High up in on the hands of Harrison for ball one. It'll be a ball and a strike with no outs. Harrison steps up once again into the box. Dufresne takes his sign, now sets back up. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, it's going to go under the legs of Fuentes, allowing both runners to advance. And just like that, with no outs, the Colt 45s have runners on second and third. Now, if I'm the Kings, I might just want to consider walking Harrison at this point. They've already got him in a 2-1 count. And that would at least provide a force out for them. We know they're trying to get out of this inning as fast as possible, make this game a little more bearable when they come back out with the bats. Here's the pitch now. That'll be a fastball for strike one. Sorry, strike two, as the count moves on over to 2 balls and 2 strikes for Harrison. Harrison 0 for 2 tonight. He's got a couple of walks. Looking for his first hit. Here comes pitch. Curveball, called strike 3, drops right into the zone. Harrison doesn't think so. He's chattering at the umpire as he walks away. But the Kings get their first out of the inning. It looked like it was a strike to me, maybe a close one, maybe just a bit above the zone, but not by much. Either way, we're going to see Blake Tweed. Tweed is 1-for-4. He's got a home run tonight. Now with one out and two on, let's see what he does. He's going to swing right through a fastball for strike one. His brother is kind of the real story of the night. He's 3-for-4 with a couple of home runs and an RBI double. Now Tweed going to step back in. Dufresne gets his sign. Now with the 0-1, here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net for strike two. So quickly, Tweed goes down 0-2 with an out. Let's see if Dufresne can get his second consecutive out here. Dufresne looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll set up. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, ball one. So, good discipline there from Tweed laying off that pitch. I can't imagine it was too hard to lay off of. It was a fastball low enough to go into the dirt. But either way, he'll be looking at a 1-2 count now here as the pitch comes in. It's going to be a high fastball this time up around the neck of Tweed for ball two. So a couple of balls, a couple of strikes here with an out in the bottom of the eighth. Kings just looking to get out of it at this point. They've got a runner on second and third. Here's the pitch. Curveball. This one's going to fall low inside for ball three. Oh, boy. So after going up 0-2, now Dufresne is going to fall behind 3-2. And here comes the payoff pitch. It's going to be lifted high into right field. It'll stay in the ballpark, however, as the right fielder goes back and makes the catch. A run will score on the sac fly, however. It'll be Bryce Tweed coming across the plate. And just like that, the score turns to 13-5. Jonathan Kumai will come up to the plate now. Kumai is 2-for-4 tonight. He's got a couple of singles with an RBI. Now he'll swing and miss at a high fastball. It'll be an 0-1 count as Kumai steps back into the box. The pitcher, Dufresne, takes his sign and now sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net this time. It'll be no balls and two strikes with a couple of outs here in the bottom of the eighth. Dufresne, holding a runner on third, will hope to get out of this one without allowing any more runs. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. Way high. It's going to go over the head of Fuentes. There's going to be a play at the plate, and sliding in safely is Wyatt Reginato. So that was a fastball that went way over the head of P.J. Fuentes. Fuentes ran back, grabbed it as it bounced off the net, and then tried to sprint back because the pitcher, DeMar Dufresne, was not covering. Fuentes made a commendable dive at the plate towards Reginato, but Reginato beat him there. So the score moves to 14-5 as the Colts lead by 9 now. Here's the 1-2 pitch. It's going to bounce in the dirt this time. The count will become 2 balls and 2 strikes as Dufresne gets a new ball. It is it's a tough night here for the West Coast Kings, especially their relief pitchers. Now Fuentes will come set. Here comes the 2-2. High. It's going to be driven still by Kumai into left field. Coming in is the left fielder, who will make the catch for out number 3. So Kumai is put away. We're going to head into the top of the 9th inning. Colts just need 3 outs to win this game. They're up by 9. We'll see after the break.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. It is the top of the ninth inning here at Tiger Field. The stands continue to thin out a little bit, as many of the fans here believe that the game is simply over. The score is 14-5 here in the top of the ninth. Colts lead by 9. Like I predicted, it'll be Dustin Niles back out on the mound. He'll be looking to shut out this Kings offense one more time to end the game. Niles, a couple nights ago, had a fantastic save versus NBO Sacramento. Let's see if he can continue his solid performance here. It's going to be number 54. Sorry, 94. It'll be AC Cabrera, the shortstop, coming up to the plate. As Niles throws a high fastball that will miss the zone for ball one. Now Cabrera steps back in. Niles looks down and takes his sign. Here comes the pitch. That one's going to be driven into mid-center field. Bryce Tweet over there makes the catch easily, however. That was a hard-hit ball by Cabrera. However, it went almost straight into the glove of Tweed. Tweed just had to take maybe one or two steps over to the left and stick his glove right up in the air to make the catch. That'll bring up Mateo Bellissimo. Bellissimo is 0-for-3 with a walk tonight. And he's going to watch a first pitch fastball miss inside for ball one. Dustin Niles just two outs away from shutting this game down. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. Another inside pitch, and apparently that one nicked Bellissimo. So, with one on and one out, we'll now see Josh Rago come up to bat. Rago, a dangerous right-handed batter. He's got a three-run shot tonight. That was in the first inning that gave this Kings team their first few runs. And then an RBI double as well in his last at-bat. And between then, he's grounded out and been hit by a pitch. Now he'll watch a fastball go by for ball one. Niles going to set up with runner on first. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to Camacho. Camacho's going to take it himself, tap on second, and overthrow first base. That would have ended the game if the throw had been online. However, Camacho overthrew Norton at first, and it looks like Rago will be on with fielder's choice. So it's going to be Seth Gwynn coming up to the plate. Gwynn is 0-for-3 tonight. He's got a flyout, a strikeout, and a lineout, as well as a walk in his last at-bat. We've got Rago standing there over at first. Niles just one out away from putting this game away. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and drilled into deep center field. That ball's going. Tweet back a little bit. He'll drop the ball. Oh, boy. That was an interesting play. Now, a tweet, not really the type to make an error like that. He went back on it. That ball looked like it was going deep off the bat, but then kind of died in the air, so Tweet had to come back in a little bit. And it fell and ticked right off the end of his glove and allowed Gwynn to reach second and Rago to reach third. So now, runners on second and third, we've got P.J. Fuentes, the catcher, up to bat. Fuentes is 0-3 tonight. He's got a fly out, a ground into a double play, and a strikeout. Now he'll be looking at an 0-1 count with two outs. Runners on second and third. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply up the middle. Takes the bad hop and gets over the head of Camacho. I believe that'll be a base hit. That was really just an unlucky play for the Colt 45s. Two runs will score, and the score moves to 14-7. Now, you really can't blame either of those runs on Niles, because remember, Rago only reached from the overthrow of Camacho on the attempted double play, and then after that, Gwynn only reached on the error from Tweed in center field. So I don't believe either of those will be earned runs for Niles. Still, he's looking for a third out here. Here comes the 1-1 pitch to P.J. Fuentes. Sorry, it's Evan Bilter up to bat. Now it'll be a 1-2 count with two outs. We've got Fuentes at first. Here comes the pitch. High fastball, it'll miss for ball two. Sorry, the count is two balls and one strike here with two outs in the top of the ninth inning. Niles sets up now. Here comes the pitch. High fastball, once again, it'll miss the strike zone. Ball three. So Niles here really got to hone in if he wants to come back and get the out against Bilter here. Filter's got some power. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and drilled into right field. That's going to be a base hit. Fuentes will hold up at second. And just like that, the Kings have runners on first and second. So they're putting together a little bit of a two-out rally here off of a couple of errors and a couple of base hits as well. Again, the score is 14-7. We've got two outs and a runner on first and second for the Kings. We're going to see Mike Vina, the second baseman, come up to the plate. Let's see if the Colt 45s can end it here finally. I don't believe this two-out rally will be enough for the Kings as they still trail by seven. Now Vina's going to foul one off into the parking lot for strike one. The count will be no balls and a strike with two outs here to Vina. Niles looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll set up. Pays no attention to the runners. Here's the pitch. High fastball up at the head of Vina, who leans back to avoid that pitch. And the count moves to a ball and a strike. So with two outs, one ball, one strike, Vina will step back into the box. Look to keep things alive for the Kings. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Another high fastball up near around the head of Vina. And that'll be a 2-1 pitch. So Niles struggling just a bit with his control here in the last couple of batters. And Williams recognizes that, and he's going to call time and head on out to the mound, have a little chat. Niles going to kick around some dirt and look at his shoes. Now Williams heading back behind the plate. Again, the count will be two balls and a strike to Mike Vina. Niles has a chance to end it here with runners on first and second and two outs. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and lifted high and foul over to the right side. Norton's going to go over and make the grab. No, he dropped it. That's unfortunate. It sure looked like he had caught the ball. However, it nicked off his glove and rolled out of my sight. So the count will become two balls and two strikes. Norton was pressed up against the dugout and then kind of jumped up for that ball. He was a little nervous, I think, about running into the gate. Two balls and two strikes. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Once again, the count moves full. So three balls and two strikes, two outs. Pressure on a little bit for Dustin Niles. Again, they've got a seven-run lead, so not too much pressure, but still, I think he'd like to get out of it here. Takes the sign and sets up. Now the payoff pitch. And it's going to hit him. He hit Vina. And Niles is a little disappointed with himself, I think. Bases become loaded now for the Kings with two outs. And that'll bring up the top of the order. Caden Peterson comes up to the plate. And it looks like manager Barrett Fasking is going to come out, have a little bit of a chat with Niles. There's no activity in the Colt 45's bullpen, so Fasking still has quite a bit of faith in Niles to finish this one off. So it'll be a fresh count to Caden Peterson. Now the home plate umpire going to call them back out to their positions. He's probably getting a little frustrated with the amount of time they're taking up there. Again, we've got two outs. We're just one out away from going home. And you can tell he wants to. So, score 14-7 here. Top of the ninth inning. The bases are loaded for the Kings. As Caden Peterson steps up to the plate. Niles takes his sign. Now sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded up the middle. Camacho's got it. He's going to try to step over onto the bag at second, and he does not make it in time. The runner beats him there. So kind of a mental mistake there from Camacho. Probably should have just fired on over to first. He hesitated to make a decision, and now we've got a fan in the stands yelling at him out there. So now the score moves to 14-8. As that's going to be a ground ball straight back up to Niles from Noah Goley. And Niles will toss over to Norton for the final out of the ballgame. So the Colts struggle there a little bit with some errors and mental mistakes in the top of the ninth. Still, they get the win. Final score here, 14-8. Kings fall apart once again, this time in the bottom of the seventh. Another phenomenal hitting performance from Arif Camacho. Camacho tonight was 3 for 4. He had two triples as well as a single and was hit by a pitch. One of those triples scored three runs. So that's going to make 11 hits in his last four games. He is hot indeed. Bryce Tweed, also another hero. He was 3 for 4. As well tonight, having a couple of home runs as well as an RBI double. So a great offensive outing from the Colt 45s. Again, they struggled a little bit in the ninth, but they get the job done. And with that, we will be back tomorrow again here on 96.5 KCNR. It'll be 6 o'clock for the Sunday game. In the last matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and West Coast Kings. So with that, I'm Austin White, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Years, and I gotta tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh yeah, this is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem, you just gotta send them a text. Text CAR to 42424 right now. For your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text CAR to 42424 right now. Text CAR to 42424. Text CAR to 42424.
These products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stiefel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Hi, friends. This is RC with Tobacco & Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily, broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Gas finally broke that record, $5 a gallon, double what it was when President Biden took office. This week, Mr. Biden says his administration's working hard to try to boost oil supplies to help ease the pressure at the pump.
We've significantly increased the number of barrels of oil that are being pumped out of the reserve we have. We've got 240,000 barrels as well coming from other nations. We're going to keep pushing on it.
Meanwhile, the president continues to blame Russia for the key factor.
It's outrageous what the war in Ukraine is causing.
Meanwhile, surging and rising prices at the pump, a key driver in the highest inflation rate Americans have seen in 40 years. It's been more than 2 weeks since the massacre at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Funerals are continuing for some of the 19 children and two teachers who were murdered.
10-year-old Alexandria Anaya Rubio was known as Lexi. Her mother, Kimberly Mata Rubio, described her daughter to members of Congress at a hearing on gun safety this week.
She was intelligent, compassionate, and athletic.
Lexi played basketball and softball like her father, a Uvalde County Sheriff's deputy. The family asked mourners to wear bright colors to her funeral Saturday because Lexi loved them.
She was quiet, shy unless she had a point to make.
Her mother, a reporter at the local newspaper, says when she knew she was right, Lexi would stand her ground.
She was firm, direct, voice unwavering.
I'm Ben Thomas.
Meanwhile, the massacre in Texas spurring a ballot initiative in Oregon to require permits to purchase firearms and bans large-capacity magazines. Oregon's the only state in America with a gun safety initiative underway for the November ballot. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Dr. Gorka here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about the 100% drug-free relief factor. We all deal with aches and pains in our day-to-day lives, and I have had my fair share, including injuries like a detached quad muscle that I can tell you fell into the category of really bad pain. But I've been able to manage the pain by taking relief factor. It helps your own body to attack and fight off sources of inflammation, the source of most of our aches and pains, and I've loved it for years. Now, almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it worked for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick starter pack for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com, call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. Feel the difference.
The Australian government will pay compensation to a French shipbuilder for last year's cancellation of a multi-billion dollar contract.
The compensation payout brings the total cost of scrapping the French submarine contract to Australian taxpayers to $2.6 billion. It also caused a deep rift between Canberra and Paris. The French President Emmanuel Macron accused the former Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison of lying about the agreement to build 12 submarines.
That's the BBC's Phil Mercer reporting. In horse racing, it was Mo Donegal winning the Belmont Stakes, the Kentucky Derby come-from-behind high-odds winner. Rich Strike finished sixth in the field of eight at the Belmont Stakes on Saturday afternoon. More breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. It has been a tough year, and if you're thinking about vacation, usually it's a happy time to plan it. But if it's a major worry these days, think about all those who rely on you getting out and hitting the road.
Small businesses that depend on outdoor crowds and free-spending tourists aren't sure what to expect this summer. Consumers likely have a lot of pent-up demand after more than 2 years of the pandemic. The U.S. Travel Association predicts travel spending will be slightly above pre-pandemic levels, but consumers are also facing some significant financial headwinds. Inflation is making day-to-day living more expensive, which could leave less money for discretionary spending. Gas prices are up more than 60% from a year ago, and hotel rooms and airfare are pricier as well, putting pressure on travel budgets. And COVID-19 remains a looming presence. Keith Peters reporting.
Check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Cinerama presents Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, June 17th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for craft beers, live music, food, games, and much more. Tickets are on sale now and include commemorative steel cup and your first beer free. $30 for pre-sale and Turtle Bay members and $35 at the gate for this 21 and over event. All proceeds go to Turtle Bay education programs and exhibition. Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, Friday, June 17th. Get your tickets today and learn more at turtlebay.org.
Top Fox News headquarters in New York City.
Brian, everything you say is awesome. I love your show.
I'd like to compliment you on having the best show on radio. Thank you.
The most approachable radio host in America.
You're different than any of the other folks on the radio, so thank you for what you do.
Thank you for always calling balls and strikes. I really do appreciate that.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the latest moments of the final hour of this edition of the Brian Kilmeade Show, depending on what hours you take and what order. We're going to be joined by John Yoo in just a moment. He's a fantastic guest and perfect for this. He's an anomaly. He's a conservative stuck out, but at Berkeley, out in the West Coast, and he's witnessing what's going on there. He is the former Deputy Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Legal Counsel under the federal government of the United States under the Bush years. Sandra Smith at the bottom of the hour, the outstanding co-anchor of America Reports. That's all coming your way. And we know today, the president's promised some big announcement tomorrow from the Council of the Americas in Los Angeles, which just on the roster alone on who's not there has been an epic fail. We'll follow that because the president is still out there. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
You go back to Watergate, you had a public that largely trusted government. The threshold here is so high. I think it's why they've hired TV producers. It's why they're trying to keep it to 90 minutes. It's why there's been a steady stream of leaks. What they're trying to do is grab the public by the lapel and say this is a much, much bigger deal than you think it is, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat.
January 6th investigation thunders into primetime. It's going to be a Broadway production. The curtain goes up about 8. It'll close around 11. Will you watch? Do you think the aim is to get rid of Trump? I do.
Number two.
I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
And we certainly continue to encourage that outside of judges' homes, and that's the president's position.
Wow, supremely dangerous. That's what it is. That's why any rational observer would describe what's happening at the homes of conservative Supreme Court justices. I'm talking about a protest. And then yesterday we learned in the middle of our show, the would-be assassin was caught in front of Justin Kavanaugh's home, armed to the teeth with knives and guns.
Number one.
Inflation is the bane of our existence. Inflation is mostly in food and in gasoline. You know, my dad used to say every family is a little bit of breathing room.
So ridiculous. President Biden did his first sit down in 4 months and he chose Jimmy Kimmel. Did it reassure the American public that he has a handle on inflation, gas prices, and crime? No, but it did give him his communication team something to do today, and that's walk back a series of quips. With me right now is John Yoo. We got him up early, former deputy assistant under George W. Deputy Assistant Attorney General under the Office of Legal Counsel for under George Bush during his years. He's now an Emanuel Heller Professor of Law at the University of California at Berkeley. John, thanks so much. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, Brian, I don't get up early for anybody, but I will for you.
I know. You're in your pajamas. I understand. So I just think, and maybe it's just hope, that Chesa Boudin's recall is the beginning of the end to this lack of law and order in America's big cities, or at least the attempt to make people pay for their crimes. Am I overreaching with that statement?
No, not at all. I've been a resident here. I've lived here and taught here for almost three decades now. I have never seen such a rejection by, I think, regular people, even the few who live here in the Bay Area. I think we live in the most liberal part of America. But people here are sick and tired of these progressive efforts to lift what have been successful policing strategies, strategies that have dropped the murder rates so fast and quickly all around the country. And then progressives, in a coordinated effort, including here in San Francisco, ran these progressive candidates for DAs. They put in these extremely soft on crime policies that brought us back to the 1970s. Murder rates, property crime rates shot through the roof. Fox has been very good telling the stories of what's been going on in San Francisco with gang attacks and
smash and grab.
Yeah, smash and grabs and CVS's and luxury stores. And look, Chesa Boudin, the DA here, lost by 2-1. And there's no Republicans here in San Francisco. This is Democrats who have had enough of their own party's pro-crime policies. So I think it's not just limited to here in San Francisco. If the people in San Francisco are sick of progressive policies, it's going to be something that's going to take even stronger hold in more moderate and sane places.
But you know, this guy's a defense attorney. He had no experience to be a prosecutor, but he went in there because he was handpicked by George Soros, as is Gascon, as is Fox in Chicago, and we're seeing it in Philadelphia. And we don't know where exactly Alvin Bragg came from, but it wasn't from a right-wing think tank. So in New York City. So I just think the fact that the liberals have risen up, and listen to James Carville, who got Bill Clinton elected twice. Cut eight.
Democratic voters have seized control of their party. The people of San Francisco won last night. The faculty at Berkeley, the University of California at Berkeley, lost. And, you know, this is not unusual. They lost in Seattle, Minneapolis, Buffalo, Cleveland, New Orleans, New York City. A lot of people in the party and a lot of people that cover the party and influencers understand that the Democrats around the country live in this country, and they want a safe country, and they want people to pay attention to them.
He wants separation between this. I think the law enforcement community won't allow that much separation. But when I look, John, at like a Bill Moore on a regular basis, James Carville, pretty regular. They're pretty consistent. They don't even recognize some of these issues that the Democrats have embraced over the last few years. But you are also in a unique opportunity, a unique perspective, because that's who your faculty is at Berkeley, and that's who the people around you who go to the grocery stores, those are mostly Democrats. Is there a separation between the Chesa Boudins, the Gascons, and them?
I don't think so, but they're going to say there is. They're going to say, no, that's just some extreme wing of the party. We have nothing to do with them. But I'll tell you, these ideas that Boudin and these other progressive prosecutors in the cities you mentioned, including my home city where I grew up in Philadelphia, these are just the experimentation with the policies that my colleagues and others at other universities have been promoting for years. They hate the kind of what we call broken windows policing that was first used so successfully in New York City by Rudy Giuliani when he was a great mayor in New York, that brought crime down, and it was copied by other cities. And simple things like having the police officer run a beat on the street being able to stop and frisk people who look like they might have guns, being tough on gun crime in the cities, and instead, and being tough on every kind of crime so that you don't breed a culture of lawlessness. You know, the people at Berkeley, I love these guys, my colleagues, but a lot of them think that they believe in this mass incarceration idea that we have been too tough on criminals, we've got too many people in prison. Well, we've had a two-year experiment now, putting their policies into effect. And like I said, even with the lockdowns, the murder rate in San Francisco went up over 35% in just 2 years. Property crimes went way up. You've seen the videos of people just walking into CVS's, filling up duffel bags and walking out. No one can stop them. That's the product of not just one or two prosecutors. This is part of the progressive ethos, their approach to crime and their, I hate to say it, this sort of woke ideology that looks at crime as just another form of racial oppression instead of providing public safety for neighborhoods, particularly poor and minority neighborhoods.
You know, John, I go out of my way not to do like the easy arguments, oh, one party's good and oh, one party's bad. I'll give you an example. If Harold Ford was running for president, I'd have a hard time not voting for him. If Henry Cuellar had a chance to put his agenda forward, this country would be an interesting debate, have an interesting debate. He's the congressman from the border community over in Texas. Interesting debate on issues. An intriguing intellectual debate on where we go and when it comes to health care, when it comes to spending. Those are the good old days. But I, between the ripping apart of the foundation of our history, the 1619 Project, this sense that the criminals run the asylum and we have no right locking up anybody who breaks the law, this seems to be anti-Americanism, where you put your hands up in the air and go, are you even trying to make the country a better place? Do you get the sense there's people who are putting policies in place who don't like the country?
Brian, that's a tough question, and I think you're putting your finger on a bigger theme, of course, than just the progressive politics, and it's the idea underlying critical race theory, underlying the 1619 Project. It underlines a lot of progressive thought you see out there today, which is it's a desire to criticize the country, to look at the things that made America successful and that we all love. It's an effort to make it all look like it was oppression, that it was working for the rich or the wealthy or for certain races or classes, which I don't believe. But if you think that way, then of course you're going to say, one of the first things you're going to say is, well, it's the police that have been oppressive, and it's jails, and the way we run our criminal justice system is just an arm of that oppression. You know, that's not to say the police never make mistakes, just like any human institution will make mistakes. But the thing that strikes me as crazy is that we have had an amazing run. Before the Black Lives Matter protests, we had an amazing run of success with crime, where murder rates in places like New York City and Washington were lower than they've been since before 1960. It's incredibly successful. And we turned our backs on it, and now because of these ideologies you mentioned, Brian, and described, that we've unleashed a wave of crime throughout all of our inner cities, and that crime falls most heavily on poor and minority communities. So, again, often, like I say, some of my progressive friends in the academy, they recommend policies that they don't really live under and that harm the very people they're trying to help.
Exactly. They're doing follow backs in Beverly Hills, and they're following these rich people back to their homes, and then they're robbing them and taking their cars. And that's when people in Los Angeles started paying attention. Oh, those gangs are killing each other. But smash and grabs are in beautiful areas in San Francisco. A friend of mine went golfing, and before he was there too early, they dropped somebody at the airport, and they had a few hours, so they thought they'd go to Starbucks. In 20 minutes, their rent-a-car has every window smashed, and all their stuff is gone. And they said, what's going on? And the cops walked up and goes, this happens all the time. So that's when it hit home for them. They're like, what is going on out in San Francisco? But I want to bring you to another area in which I need your insight on. Yesterday, somebody was picked up and they've been charged with attempted murder of a U.S. judge and facing 20 years in prison because they were picked up with a Glock 17 pistol, two magazines, ammunition, pepper spray, zip ties, a hammer, a screwdriver, a nail punch and a crowbar, and a pistol, light duct tape, I could go on, hiking boots and pads for their shoes. They planned on going to Justice Kavanaugh's house and, according to the would-be assassin, kill him and his family
and because they wanted their life to matter, and then turned himself in by saying he's having suicidal thoughts. Marshall spotted him outside Justice Kavanaugh's house at 105. Inexplicably, he was arrested at 155. This was an attempted assassination, not even making the front page of the New York Times, and yet protests were allowed to happen in front of Kavanaugh's house 1 hour later. How do you process this as a student of the law?
I'm sorry to see this day, but I have to say when I saw the opinion in the Dobbs case, right, the case about abortion, that we're all expecting the next 2 or 3 weeks, when I saw that case leak, oh God, a part of me thought this kind of attempted assassination was going to be a predictable consequence of that leak. Whoever leaked that opinion put winning Roe versus Wade above the institution of the Supreme Court. They wanted to, whoever it was, wanted to politicize, turn the court's operations into politics. And if you believe what the leaks report, that the court is now split 5-4 on overturning Roe versus Wade, and that we might see that because of this draft opinion. And if there are people, radicals out there, who think protecting Roe is more important than our very institutions of government, like the Supreme Court, then I was sorry. I thought there might be a crazy person who might try to knock off one of the justices, and that would destroy the five-justice majority, and Roe would be preserved. That's the way some of these people think. And I hate to say it, I think our government was slow. I think there are two things our government should have done. One, they were slow to protect the justices. They are now. But you might remember, Brian, that just initially after the leak, there were people who were demanding more security for the justices, and it took the Justice Department under Merrick Garland a long time to get going. And then, two, there's a bill pending in the House to expand security for the justices and other federal judges, and it's languishing there. They're not moving forward.
Speaker Pelosi doesn't want to do it. John Yoo, that's on the West Coast. Real quick, you know Justice Kavanaugh. You served with him, didn't you, with the Bush years, John Yoo?
Yes.
Do you think on some level he wish he was never nominated?
No. In fact, I like to think that a justice like Brett Kavanaugh or others would say, this is the price of doing my job, and I will do it, even though there are those out there who are going to try to use force and illegitimate means to try to influence me. This should, I hope, make him have a stiffer backbone, because this is why you go into the job in the first place, not just the Supreme Court judge, but the federal judiciary as a whole. And so I expect him not to be influenced by this.
And what about Justice Thomas? You used to clerk for Justice Thomas. Do you think he's wavering?
No. In fact, I think of all the justices, he's the one who would react most strongly in the other direction from this kind of attack. Look at his career. He's been under grievous attack his whole career, and I think it's only made him a more stout conservative, the leader of the conservatives on the court.
John Yoo, can't thank you enough. Appreciate your insight. Very consequential time.
Thanks, Brian. Always good to be with you.
You got it. I know you wish it was later, but you chose to live 3,000 miles away. Thank you. When we come back, I'll take your calls. I see the lines, 1-866-408-7669.
Diving deep into today's top stories, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Subscription required. Refund available for 60 days after purchase.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 90% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to 4hims.com/joy. At Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the biggest brands at 90% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but 90% cheaper. It's the same medication you get from your doctor, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. Results are guaranteed or your money back. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
She became overweight, stinky, several vertebrae fused together. Sophie was going to be euthanized.
DINOVITE.com.
Oh.
I remember Sophie starting the Dynavite. She has loved it. She is no longer stinky. She is full of life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Get them on Dynavite right away while they're healthy.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If your paycheck is being stretched thin, there are ways to save on some purchases that you might not even think about. Sure, it's hard to save when it comes to fixed expenses like rent, mortgage, car payments, property taxes, and insurance premiums. But you can try scaling back when buying certain items, which can add up. Start by trying to find out how to score deals on big-ticket items. For example, if you need a TV, wait until January when last year's models are discounted to make room for the new ones. And how about furniture? Retailers often clear out their stock around Independence Day, making July prime time for scoring cheap items. And try getting stuff for free by using social media platforms like Facebook and Nextdoor. You can check out if your neighbors are looking to get rid of some goods, cause you never know. And when grocery shopping, come with a list in hand. In addition, devote a few hours to meal prep every week, which will prevent you from overbuying in the long run. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with MasterChef Junior Judge Daphne Oz, author of the new cookbook, Eat Your Heart Out, All Fun, No Fuss Food to Celebrate Eating Clean. In the book, Oz shares these are recipes for what she does, which is a 5 days on, 2 days off routine.
So there are three critical rules, quote unquote rules, in this book. I'm not a major rule follower, but this is one place that it has. Having simple structure around the plan like this has actually given me a chance to relax. Like, once you have these really clear guidelines, you don't need to think about it so much, which lets you just enjoy what you're doing. So on those 5 days on, no gluten, no refined sugar. But the most important rule is to take the weekend off. Live your life, have a glass of wine, go out with the kids and get ice cream, enjoy yourself. And what that does is it actually fuels your resolve to eat well the rest of the time. It lets you feel like nothing is ever off limits. It doesn't let your metabolism drop down. It is just a great way to keep your head screwed on straight, which I'm a big fan of. And truly, anybody can do anything for 5 days.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
No other player in history of baseball affected how the game was played more than Babe Ruth. He changed the game from an inside game of scratching for one or two runs to a game of power. His career included 714 home runs. He retired from the game and was elected to the first class in the new Baseball Hall of Fame. With all that, the Babes still wish for more.
I've had three ambitions in my life. One was to hit 700 home runs, the other one was to play 20 years, and the next one was to be in 10 World Series. I succeeded in one last year, making my 10th World Series. And next year gives me the opportunity to play in 20 years. And if I had 46 home runs, I'll have my 700 home runs, and I'll sure be satisfied with everything.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. In radio, you're with Brian Kilmeade.
What was clear yesterday, they don't have a plan. It's to hunker down and to hope the storm passes over, but to do nothing proactive. I say that because fuel prices, which you just highlighted, are a major driver of overall inflation. Now, if you ask them what they're going to do about the high price of fuel at the pump, they talk about decreasing tariffs on solar panels made in China. That is absurd.
It is nuts. And raising taxes on corporation, insane. Raising taxes on millionaires, nuts. They think that by getting daycare for people, I don't know, get more back to work, who knows, to pay for gas prices that are astronomical, or to pass prescription drug plans? I don't know. Is that going to address inflation and gas prices at the rate they're going up right now? That's not a plan. That's an agenda that was rejected by your own party. Two took the fall for many more, Senator Kristen Sinema and Senator Joe Manchin. And what the president decided to do yesterday is getting a total pass, but is outrageous. And I hope people stand up and say it. The New York Times, Washington Post, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, whatever, they have not gotten an interview. Brett Baer at Fox, Martha McCallum here with President Joe Biden. Why? 4 months, no interviews. The first interview he gives is with Jimmy Kimmel. And I'm just comparing to Barack Obama. Yeah, he did Between Two Ferns. I get it. And he did some, I guess, some Generation X interviews. I understand it. But he did other interviews. He also interviewed with Bill O'Reilly a couple of times. I think he interviewed with Brett Baer as well a couple of times. So Joe Biden's aren't even going through George Stephanopoulos anymore.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drought. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
The popular Big Daddy Burger is back at Black Bear Diner. This massive burger sports two 10-ounce patties and a 6-inch sesame seed bun. Add two onion rings, a fried egg, bacon, cheese, pickles, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and dressing. And, well, you've got a burger challenge. This month, only at Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open, and you're invited to come see for yourself why so many customers tell us how beautiful the nursery is. Locally grown plants and vegetables are on sale now. Buy any three vegetables or soil booster and get one free. Let Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping's contractor install beautiful dark green synthetic lawn, the best on the market. No maintenance, no water, no fertilizer. Call for your free estimate. Gold Leaf Nursery, open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, closed Sunday and Monday, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6168 Churn Creek Road.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
That's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
It's clear that if, in fact, the decision comes down the way it does and these states impose the limitations they're talking about, it's going to cause a mini revolution. They're going to vote a lot of these folks out of office.
Mini revolution. I don't know. Is that a good choice of words? Brian Kilmeade back with you with Sandra Smith talking with a total lack of discipline. Talking while I'm talking. How dare you, Sam Smith?
Is that okay
when John Roberts hosts with you? I mean, to me, I'm used to professionalism.
I was going to warn you, I'm a little fired up this morning.
But you're always fired up. Because you're one of these people. There's a lot of people who say, okay, this is my job. But you live these issues. Like, you care about this, right?
I do. And I thought the interview was interesting for many reasons, a little scary at times as well.
What do you mean by scary?
A lot of the headlines this morning are making the case that he was gaslighting on the economy, touting how great things are. At the same time, the reason why he's sinking in the polls is because of the economy. Little out of touch with the suffering of the American people. Mini revolution, I don't know. We'll see.
Say that hours from when you knew the Supreme Court Justice's assassin was picked up before he could strike?
Yeah. And his acknowledgement that that Democrats won power of the House, the Senate, the White House, and still they're making very little progress. He was airing his frustrations at the same time, making a major admission that he has not been able to lead his party while having complete control of government. Fair enough. So obviously, you look out into November, you've seen the forecasts. It's going to get interesting.
Here, Eric, plate number two. This is what really Sanders is referring to, because I read the transcript before I watched this, and I thought, what is he talking about?
We have the fastest growing economy in the world. We have 8.6 million new jobs just since I got in office. Unemployment rate's down to 3.6%. We've reduced the deficit last year by $320 billion. This year, we're going to reduce it by $1.7 trillion.
Right.
And so, we're the strongest economy, and that's allowed us at least to stay on top of and a little bit ahead of what's happening around the world.
Tell that to the respondents of the most recent YouGov poll that found a majority of Republicans, 70%, and a sizable share of Democrats, 40%, think the U.S. is right now currently in a recession. Okay? The most tangible pain for the American people is economic hardship.
Yeah.
Okay. Savings are going down. Interest rates are skyrocketing. Rents are up. Housing affordability is going down. I don't have to tell you about inflation, the cost of absolutely everything. Gas prices sky high. Food prices sky high. And there is about to be a big change when it comes to access, for food around the globe. We're already seeing a huge impact because of what's happening in Ukraine and the closure of those ports by Russia.
Can I just say emergency meeting between Turkey and Russia to try to open up those ports to allow the grain to leave the Ukraine? I'm not optimistic.
Not optimistic. But what now is happening, you've got the supply chain crisis. You've got diesel prices sky high. Truckers just throwing in the towel saying they're not even going to commute, not going to transport those goods to the store shelves. You've got fertilizer prices sky high. Big story, not on everybody's radar. The higher those fertilizers go, the less farmers can afford to buy it and grow their crops. What do? They shrink their crop share. All of a sudden, we are no longer growing and exporting as much food as the globe depends on us for. You're talking about potentially, and you've seen the UN and others warn on this, you're potentially talking about a major global food shortage right around the corner, Brian. I mean, so we think it's hard now. So for the president last night in that interview to sort of talk about this rosy picture for the economy is completely out of touch with what we're seeing.
And you have this business background, too, so you're able to forecast more than most because, I mean, that's where you came from, that world.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things going on. I think the one thing you learn in sales and in life and in conflict, if you're going to talk to somebody and they explain to you what's wrong and you don't acknowledge what's wrong, you will never make progress and they think that you don't respect them and you're certainly not listening. The American people are saying, we can't get baby formula, we're alarmed. You're about to lose pet formula. We never have seen in our lifetime $5 a gallon gas, and everything that we buy is more expensive from the stuff you need to the stuff you were thinking about buying. And then you say, well, we cut the deficit. Well, that's disingenuous because we just spent and printed all this money for the pandemic, which was not our fault, and you still don't blame the origins of the virus. And then you say we're going to continue to do this, and we have all these jobs are open. Okay, unemployment's low. But to not open up with, here's my plan for the number one issue on every poll, and that's inflation, and the 1B is gasoline, to sit there and tell Jimmy Kimmel for 37 seconds how great everything is, is an insult.
And with never an acknowledgement that any of this administration's policies on energy led to where we are today. How about the closure of the Keystone XL pipeline day one when Biden took office? How about our ability to produce oil here at home? I keep inviting Democrats on our show, and they're always welcome. I had Seth Moulton on yesterday, Ro Khanna on the day before. It's all reactionary. It's tapped the strategic petroleum reserves. Why are we implementing emergency moves when we have the resources to bring prices down right here? I have in front of me, because I ask our brain room to give me this every day, Brian. This is astounding. The national average gas price records have been reached 13 straight days now and for 30 out of the past 31 days. So why are we still reacting like this is an emergency? This isn't new. This has been happening. And this is the result of a candidate, Joe Biden, that promised that he would end the fossil fuel industry in this country. I keep saying this as well, and I had Lucas Tomlinson make this chart. I tweeted it out this morning. When you look at gas prices, don't just go back to Inauguration Day. That's not when gas prices started going up. Gas prices in this country started going up the day Joe Biden was elected in anticipation of the ending of the fossil fuel industry. So what did he tout as one of his biggest successes last night? His transition to green energy at the cost of the American people. He left that part out.
Right. We're not ready. Electric cars aren't ready.
Nope.
The infrastructure is not only is it paid for, it's not implemented.
Debbie Stabenow's got her EV, though.
$51,000 car, talking about driving 350 all these miles without needing to recharge. So I was talking to somebody who's a car expert today and said, you know, on the average, these cars, maybe a used car is 7 chips. It's like hundreds of chips for these electric cars. We don't have the electric cars. They're not there.
Yeah.
There's no replacement for the batteries in the first generation of electric cars. So there's no transition waiting. The wind and solar are not going to do it. You're seeing that in Europe. And a lot of people in Europe are going, yeah, I don't even want the windmill near me. Do not give me a solar panel pasture.
Yep.
I don't want it. So I want you to hear what Pete Buttigieg said today, because I thought about you and Martha, because you have this business background as well. When he said this,
it's been very striking right now. to see these oil companies who have become almost ridiculously profitable. And you hear these oil executives on the record talking about how they're not going to increase production. Why would they? They're doing great right now. It's why the president has called for a use it or lose it policy, where if you're sitting on these thousands of permits like these oil executives have been, and you're not doing anything with them, then you're going to be held accountable for that. Now, so far, congressional Republicans have blocked action to do something like that, but we think that's another step that would make a difference among the many, many steps the president's already taken.
It's hard to hear. The demonization of private business in this country. It really is. I mean, it's hard to believe.
People that don't know oil and gas, too. They don't know that it's not a lease like a supermarket. Cut the ribbon and let's go drill.
But that's
what
the
goes
very
into
rhetoric that is keeping them from tapping into these leases and drilling for the oil with prices where they are today, because they don't know if the rules of the game will change midway through. And that is a risk reward calculation that every private business has to employ before they take action. So if there was even the slightest, friendliest, business friendly rhetoric or environment created by this administration to produce more oil in this country, why wouldn't those companies take advantage of sky high oil and gas prices? You have to ask yourself that.
So for What Made America Great, we did the history of oil and gas in this country. I don't know anything. I'm all ears. So I'm fascinated by it. I was able to go with George P. Bush about 6 months ago out to these oil fields to talk about what goes into it.
Love it.
So what happens is they also did something to try to Pure Alley. They went to Wall Street and they said, stop recommending investments in oil and gas and fossil fuel companies.
That's right.
So the Johnsons down the street, the middle class union member, no longer has in their portfolio oil and gas stocks, even if they would make more money.
And now they want them to help.
So then they said, excuse me, now I can't get any investment dollars. You told all these people not to work in oil and gas, too. You told generations it's evil. So I can't get the 20-somethings to do this great living in Midland, Texas anymore. That's that true. Gives us great football and great families and great livings and great pensions. So we're seeing this ripple effect. Then you go, okay, oil's too high. Guys, start drilling. Excuse me, stop drilling. You gave me a lease. You didn't give me a permit. I got to get a permit. How long is it going to take to get a permit? It's going to take months. It's going to take years. By the time I get that permit, who's going to be president? What's the price of gas? You have to guarantee me I'm going to get $60, $70 worth of barrel
and
of gas.
And that's never guaranteed.
Right, never guaranteed. But if you wanted to, could you do a Warp Speed type deal where you told the prescription drug people, told Moderna, I'm going to buy it. Even if it doesn't work, I'm going to buy it because I want the result. And it worked. It was a bet worth taking. I'll back you because right now it's $120 a barrel. Mm-hmm. I'll back you at $60. Drill for me. And you know, I'm going to cut some red tape for you. But just do it. Can you do that? There's no deal. It's like you better go punch a hole.
No.
Send a mayor of South Bend out on national television to tell oil companies what they're not doing.
You know what, though? They're not just demonizing the big oil companies. When gas prices weren't coming down fast enough, when oil dropped below 100, they were demonizing the mom and pop shops that have nothing to do with how these how the prices work. And by the way, 120 might seem pretty cheap soon. Goldman Sachs is saying oil prices are likely going to $140 a barrel, and it'll feel more like $160 a barrel to the American people when you consider the price of gasoline. But no fear, the EV vehicle. You mentioned $50,000. Just so you know, with inflation now, the average price of an EV is up over $60,000. If you can get one. And let them eat cake, Debbie Stabenow in her home state of Michigan. The median household income in her state is below the average price of an electric vehicle. But she says that's the solution to sky-high gas prices. I mean, think about that for a second.
It's crazy. And she does that without inhibition, without realizing what she's saying. And I don't need to plug my series too much, but I also did the history of the automobile. And I was able to talk to the CEO of Ford.
Love it.
And I said to him, he goes, you know, Joe Biden came here and he drove the electric car. And I drove in it. They wouldn't let me drive it. But the new Lightning. And they got immediately put it up and they had all these sales. But they don't have the cars. So I said, what's the problem? He goes, my worry is the rare earth. And I said, isn't it on Jim Farley? I said, Jim, isn't it okay for you if they're going to demand you do this? Aren't you going to demand the government give you the rare earth necessary to make the cars? Because right now China has all of it and they're taking over the African mines. They control it like Congo. We gave it up.
You know, the lithium batteries, right?
Lithium battery.
That we're highly dependent on China for.
And he says, yeah, I need the government to help me there.
Not to mention 61% of the electricity to charge those electric vehicles is coming from fossil fuels. So who really thought this through? You know who's a great voice on all of this? Bjorn Lomborg. I'm having him on my show today. He often writes about this in the Wall Street Journal. He's not a climate change denier, but he says we're just not ready. And so you've got Democrats, you've got the Greenies, you've got the administration. They're pushing something in an economy right now that cannot handle it. We're not ready for this great transition. And so it's the American people that are paying the price.
Who else do you have?
Today, top of the show, we just changed it. We've got Sherry Bustos coming on with us, another Democrat from Illinois. Want to pick her brain, obviously, about the agricultural markets and beyond. A lot of talk about what happened yesterday with Justice Kavanaugh and the threat outside of his house. We've got a bunch of economic panels coming on the show today. Tom Homan talking about the border. Daryl Issa joining us. And one of my favorites, Governor Jared Polis, coming on from the great state of Colorado. The Democratic governor will be joining us. And actually, we're going to be talking about him vetoing a bill that would have required EV chargers in new and renovated buildings, warning it could further raise housing prices across his state.
It's amazing how people don't understand that. That is a great show, how the ripple effects of their policy, how no one says, okay, Mr. President, if I do this and you demand this, the ripple effect is some of those buildings won't get built and some of those businesses won't be able to launch because the leases are going to go up. They're not going to be able to afford it, though it's going to stay empty. No one ever thinks what the reaction is going to be to a policy. It astounds me.
By the way, did you see the new average rent price in New York City? Overnight, topped $4,000.
Right.
So, in a city nobody wants to live in because crime's sky high.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a mess.
More people are exiting New York City and then going to Florida than any other city. Listen, Sandro, you still got a few more minutes with us, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, back at him. Oh, do you have to go somewhere right? No, you're not doing Outnumbered, are you?
Just a hair and makeup at noon, that's all.
Okay. I don't think you need it. But the old days was Sandra Smith on Outnumbered. Those were the old days.
Did you just say that? Outnumbered?
Yeah, remember you doing Outnumbered?
America Reports, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Right.
With Sandra Smith and
I'm
John
saying
Roberts.
Now you have no reason to blow me off because the old days you would run to Outnumbered.
I had to run at noon.
I'm not that detached, I promise. Back in a moment.
Learning something new every day on The Brian Kilmeade Show.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
We don't tell anybody that has a dog if there was something that you can do right from the beginning so that you don't have expensive veterinary bills. Why would you not do it?
DinoVite.com. DinoVite is nutrition. The DinoVite will make your dog happy, vivacious, jump up and down, wag their tails. It will make you smile.
You get some DinoVite, how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
You want 8 of the Flutonics?
Shira's hand-blown glassware blows right off her store shelves.
Get the back for more indigo bowls.
She needs an inventory manager to help keep her stock on lock.
These are 100% porous silicate. Those aren't. Hey, can someone check the temp on the kiln?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Earn up to $500 in sponsored job credits by conducting interviews on Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week with the smartest thinkers out there about the issues Americans face and where we're going as a nation. This show will feature deep dive interviews with newsmakers and some of your favorite Fox News analysts. I hope you'll join me as we dive into the fray. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts. Based on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
5 inches of rain by tomorrow.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. He'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
I lost my only child. I had 4 miscarriages. Daniel was a gift from God, and I lost him 22 months and 20 days ago. Yes, I'm counting. I'll be counting for the rest of my life. And I tell you now that we have to do something. Our leaders have to work together. This is an issue that we all agree on.
And you're talking about security for justices, let alone Supreme Court justices. Sandra Smith, that was your interview yesterday.
Yes, and that was a judge who in 2020, her son and her husband were shot in the doorstep of
Esther Salas.
Yes, and her son was killed. Her husband made it through it, her only son. Just a terrifying, horrific interview to hear her story that we all know too well. Look, I don't understand. I don't get why the Supreme Court justices aren't getting the more protection and more security that they desperately need right now. It was stepped up back in May. They get full-time U.S. Marshal security outside of their home and elsewhere. That is more than they were getting. But this bill that passed in the Senate that's in the House gathering dust is to provide more protection for their family members. Why would we not all support
that? It stopped
that
in the House. Nancy Pelosi won't put it to a vote.
That's
Senator
crazy.
Coons on the record. Durbin says we got to do this. What's
100%.
Going on here?
I don't know. I say roll a scroll on any Democrat who's getting in the way of passing more protection for Supreme Court justices and their families in the wake of this. I had Mike Davis on the top of our show yesterday. Former clerk to Justice Neil Gorsuch. He is a friend to many of the justices as well. He joined us and he said, look, this is exactly what everybody saw coming. You go back to the steps of the Capitol with the megaphone, Chuck Schumer. He called for this. He tried to walk it back in the hours and days that followed, Brian. Mm-hmm. But he called for this, that there would be an awakening.
Right. It's unbelievable. I just got some news that's going to help New Yorkers, our WABC listeners, WRCN listeners. Mayor Adams has just made mass optional for preschoolers. Believe it or not.
Amen.
In this city, if you were a toddler, weren't in kindergarten, you had to wear it because your vaccines weren't eligible. You believe this?
Can you think about that? 2, 3, and 4-year-old kids that were still today, while we're all living our lives, we're still having these, and those kids are learning to talk.
When does it start, Allison? All right, June 13th, it starts. It's got a couple more days. Sandra, we're going to watch you from 1 to 3 with the other guy. His name is John Roberts. Thanks so much. That's America Reports.
And we love him. Thanks.
All right, Brian Kilmeade Show.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text CAR to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text CAR to 42424 right now. Text CAR to 42424. Text CAR to 42424.
These products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.